Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here until 4 o'clock, as we are every weekday night into morning, 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. 312-981-7200 is our phone number if you would like to call or text us, 312-981-7200. And it is a Wednesday, right? It's Wednesday, so we've got some stuff coming up here. Raleigh James is going to join us. She's a regular now on the show, and she's just a delight. And she's a trucker expert, and she's just wears so many hats and does so many things. And she is also like an expert and on conspiracies and conspiracy theories. So we're going to talk about conspiracies with Raleigh coming up here on 720 WGN. We also have a round of Know Your Onion. Know Your Onion is when we test your knowledge on whether you can tell the difference between a news headline, a real news headline, or a headline from the satirical newspaper, The Onion. And Tom will read a news headline, and you will have to decide whether it's real or it's from The Onion. And then you win a prize if you get it right. And then we also play back some classic Carson bits from the Johnny Carson Show, which you can watch on Antenna TV every night. And the classic Carson bit we're going to play is Buddy Hackett. Buddy Hackett was always hilarious on The Tonight Show. And he talks about getting naked in sumo wrestling in Japan. So that's coming up. 312-981-7200. April Fool's Day is coming up in just a little bit, and we're going to talk about why April Fool's Day is utter crap and some of the most ridiculous pranks throughout history. And that's all coming up. But right now we say hello to the truckers, we say hello to the third shifters and the night owls and the people who are still working and keeping everything moving during this difficult situation. So what's the truckers? What's the food situation out there? We talk about you guys having to get something to eat, and sometimes it's difficult to do that. What's going on the road eating out there? And 312-981-7200. We want to thank all the third shifters and all the truckers for doing what they do and keeping us going while this is happening. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're also going to talk about, right here at the top of the show, we're going to talk about ridiculous work stories. We got this article here in front of me about really outrageous things that people did at work and that should have gotten them fired, but it didn't. So what's the most ridiculous work story that you have, the dumbest move that you pulled at work and got away with it, or maybe you didn't get away with it? 312-981-7200 is the number. So thanks to the truckers out there. But so we got these outrageous things that people did at work that should have gotten them fired but didn't. And we're going to lead off with that. Should we take a break, Tom? Okay, we'll take a break, and we'll come back and jump right back into things right here on 720 WGN. Hey, by the way, get nightly updates on the COVID-19's impact in Chicago and nationwide. WGN-TV News special report, the COVID pandemic, weeknights at 10:30 on WGN-TV. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We always like to start off the show talking to third shifters, people who are working right now. And we want to thank everybody for doing their jobs. We got the truckers out there who we always like to thank, and then the third shifters who are keeping things moving. And we've got some people who are calling in to talk. And also, we're talking about some outrageous things that people did at work that should have gotten them fired but didn't. And asking you, what's the dumbest move you've pulled at work? Maybe got away with it or didn't get away with it. 312-981-7200. Here's Daryl on WGN. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
This is jail in Illinois. The most outrageous story at work that happened to me, I was working for United States Postal Service as a casual carrier. I was delivering the route that I was assigned to, and I was supposed to pick up a mailbox of outgoing mail, and there was a very large mail standing there, and he said to me, "Are you going to pick up the mail?" And I said, "Not right now," because I thought maybe his wife dropped divorce papers in the mailbox and he was going to try to unsecure the security of the mail I was supposed to protect. So I continued on my route. I meant to swing back and pick up the box. When I got back to the post office, I was terminated for a zero bundle failure, which means picking up the mail a minute late, a minute early, or not at all. And it was not at all, and I got fired, and it goes on my record the rest of my life forever. That stays in the government record that I was fired for a zero bundle failure because I was trying to protect the security of the mail. But you know, their policies and procedures, if you don't pick up the mail, you know, if you pick it up a minute late, a minute early, or not at all, then you get a zero bundle failure. And you know, I was a casual carrier, so the union didn't protect me.
Well, that's a sad story, Daryl.
No. You want to hear a happy story? Well, I had this full time job of drinking alcohol for 13 years, and during the process, I couldn't remember what I was doing. But I kept doing it, you know, because I was vigilant at it. And I went to this bar, and the guy says to me, "Hey, last night I told you get out of here and never come back here." But I was a blackout drinker, so yeah, I never knew I was there in the first place. Yeah. But then the happy end of the story is I've been sober for 31 years now.
Well, good for you, Daryl. Congratulations, my friend. All right, thanks for the call. That's Daryl. 312-981-7200 is the number. We're talking about some things that people did at work that should have gotten them fired, but they didn't. And also we're talking to some truckers and third shifters out there, as we like to do at the beginning of the show. Thank you guys for everything that you're doing. Here's John on WGN. Hey, John.
Hey, Nick. I worked for Dominick's before they closed down for 20 years or so. But
yeah.
I spotted in the yard, which means you're in a vehicle. It's like half a tractor, and it moves the trailers around. It lifts the trailers up. So I used to do tricks in this thing all the time, spin outs, all kinds of things, 360-degree turns. Well, one of my favorites was doing a 360-degree turn and backing underneath the trailer at the same time. So this was the days before cameras were everywhere and everything, and Safeway had just bought us out, which was a California corporation. So one of the new bosses must have saw me do this. So they bring me up into the office, and he says, they ask me about this and say, "Hey, was that you?" And no, I would never do something like that. It's so unsafe. I would never do that. So anyways, this guy was a smoker just like me, and every time for 6 months afterwards, he'd be outside smoking a cigarette. I'd be smoking whatever. We'd small talk. And he would say, "You know, off the record, I got to tell you, it was an amazing move." And I would, every time he'd ask me, I'd say, "I don't know what you're talking about. It wasn't me. You know, if I find out, I'll tell him it's terrible. They should never do stuff like that." You know?
Yeah, that's hilarious. That's great. All right. Thanks, John.
Hey.
All right. He's driving around like a lunatic in a truck. You got some texts coming in, too, at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. 715 area code says, "I worked in a retail store with a guy that said, 'Eat a toad' to customers who came in the store. He said it cheerfully in the same cadence that you would say, 'May I help you?' He did it all the time, and no one ever even noticed." Eat a toad. Hello, Nick and Tom. 312 says, "Hope you are well. This is Amy from Aurora. Please share my thanks for the truck drivers who are working so hard, to the third shifters who are trying to provide normalcy in the grocery stores, and to all healthcare providers on the front lines. We love and appreciate them all. Thank you, Nick, for this platform to share this sentiment." Yeah. We talk about this every night on the show while this crisis is happening, how much we appreciate. And, you know, here's the thing. When this is all said and done, and it's going to be done, we'll get through this, when it's all said and done, you know, the sentiments that we have now that we are thanking the truck drivers and the third shifters and the people who work in the grocery stores, make sure we continue to feel that way when this is done. Keep that sentiment going. Don't forget about it once we get back to normalcy. And so, yeah, to all the people who are out there are driving trucks. My dad, listen, my dad is 78 years old and he bags groceries at Jewel. He wears the surgical mask. He wears the gloves, but he goes into work. He loves working at Jewel and he loves helping people out. So, you know, I personally like to thank my dad too. So, I mean, I worry, you know, but he's fine. And, you know, he still goes out there and bags groceries when he needs to. So all those people deserve our thanks year round, not just now. Now, you know, it's amplified because of the situation that we're in. But year round, these people deserve our thanks. So keep that going. 312-981-7200. Here's Doughboy out on the road. You driving tonight, Doughboy?
Yeah, Nick, I'm trucking around in Chicago. I'm a local driver, so I don't go over the road anymore. But hey, I got a job story for you. Right. I'm the guy that called in a while back. And I used to work at Raceway Park. I used to make a gin and tonic every morning for my boss.
Oh, right, right, right.
Man.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
So I was just telling Tom one day, one part of my job was to clean up the track after a race night. And some people would leave their spectator cars because you could have spectator races.
Yeah,
and they'd
bring
their old cars. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, they'd leave the cars in the infield and they would just leave them there. And part of my job was to grab the tractor and pull them off with a chain and get them off the track.
Uh-huh.
Well, me and a couple of guys that worked with me, we found a couple of them that ran. So we started them up and started driving them around the track, smashing into each other. Old man Pete, Bullhorn, he had one of those megaphones. He's like, get off the track. He was cussing and swearing at us. Get off the track. I'll fire you guys right now. He was cussing and swearing at us, but we were just driving around the track, smashing into each other with him. It was pretty fun,
That's
man.
That's hilarious.
I should have gotten fired that day for it, but I was in charge of the cleanup crew. So,
well, there you go.
And I was,
That's right.
Yeah.
You got- That's
I was
hilarious.
The one that made his drink for him every morning, so
that's,
he had to keep
right.
me around
he
for a while.
That's right. He had to make a gin and tonic for him every morning. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Doughboy, thanks, man. Be safe out there, okay, buddy?
All right, man. Thanks,
right,
Nick.
See you later.
Guys, have a good night.
Okay. That was a hilarious story. Was it a couple months ago he called in, like a month or so? Was it?
Talking about making
a gin and tonic. Every morning he had to make a gin and tonic. He worked at the raceway track.
It was a big one, too. Make a big gin and tonic.
Big gin and tonic. I love it was that it was every morning. Because that's how you start off your morning, with a big gin and tonic.
You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
That's true. 630 sends in a text. By the way, talk and text 312-981-7200. As a young mechanic, I filled a rubber glove with welding gas. I walked over to another mechanic and lit it with a lighter, and it made a massive bang. The owner of the dealer was walking by, and he spilled hot coffee all over himself. Needless to say, I almost got fired for playing that joke. What do you come up with the idea of filling a rubber glove with welding gas? How does that enter your head? Oh, man. 708 sends in a text. 312-981-7200. I work at FedEx. I'm still there now as human resources. My former manager hit me on purpose with a 50-pound box in return. The most outrageous move I ever made. I pushed my now former manager in a shopping canister. She got shipped to Hawaii, lost her job once she got back. Jeez. So some of the outrageous things that people have done that they did not get fired for but should have gotten fired for. Here's a little story. My roommate had a girl call in dead to work. She was too hungover, so got her roommate to call her boss and say she died in a car accident. Everyone in her team thought she was dead for 4 days until she turned up the following Monday as if nothing happened. She didn't get fired and works in HR now. What? All right. Here's Trucker Rich. Hi, Rich.
Hey, Nick. How you doing tonight?
I'm all right. What's up?
Oh, well, I was telling Tom, back before I joined the Army, I worked as a mechanic, and you remember points and condensers in a distributor, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, you could charge a condenser up, and it would hold the charge. And we'd charge them up, lay them on somebody's bench, so when they went to clean up, they'd grab that condenser and get knocked on their butts. But in between driving jobs, I was working in a factory, and it was one winter, and it was snowing. And we got a single, you know, two-lane highway going through the middle of town, and me and another guy were joking around. I says, man, 251's down to one lane going north. I says, I hope we make it home tonight. And the boss heard that and sent us all home. And the next night we came in, and he goes, you told me the highway was down to one lane, and it was clear when I went home. I says, oh, yeah, it was. It was just 251's only two lanes. One goes north and one goes south. I wasn't lying.
No, technically you weren't. Technically you weren't.
Yeah, I just didn't want to work in the cold.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The factory we worked in was not heated, so.
Yeah. Wow. All right. All right, Rich, thanks, buddy.
Yep, have a good one.
All right, there you go. You ever been fired, Tom?
I've never been fired.
Neither have I.
Never been fired, but.
I've quit jobs.
I've quit. I have just kind of stopped showing up.
What? You just kind of stopped showing up.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a long story, but I worked for a dry cleaners when I was in college.
Uh-huh.
And I was only on for the summer, but they expected me to come back and do shifts on the weekend throughout the fall. And I told them, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I've just signed up for the summer. And they said, well, you're going to do it. And I said, are you going to make me? They said, well, we can't make you. I was like, all right, see ya. So I would get scheduled for weekend shifts at this dry cleaner's. I just wouldn't show up.
You just didn't show up.
I was like, I was done.
Okay. Here's another quick story before we break here. People that did stuff at work that should have gotten them fired but didn't. And if you want to jump in here, I'd love to hear from you. What are some of the stunts that you pulled at work that you can't believe you got away with? 312-981-7200, talk and text, 312-981-7200. Kid came in an hour late. This is still drunk from the party he had attended the previous night. He fell asleep on the floor in the middle of the office. He was sent home to sleep it off. And then I was fired 2 weeks later for washing my uniform wrong. Government work, everybody, never again. So this guy comes in, passes out. He's still drunk. Passes out on the floor. They send him home, sleep it off. Doesn't lose his job. Washing your uniform wrong, fired. That doesn't seem feasible to me. So, all right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. What kind of stunts did you pull at work you can't believe you got away with? 312-981-7200. Our good friend Raleigh James is going to join us. We're going to talk conspiracies and more. And again, thanks to all the third shifters and the truckers, everybody who's working through this crisis, we want to thank you. You are the so important to all of us right now going through this. And 312-981-7200 is the number.
I fall off my chair, and I'm wondering how I get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you.
Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here until 4 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock, we'll head over to Bradley Place to the TV side of WGN and get some early morning news from them. And then Bob Surratt has your morning drive. And we are here, WGN AM 720, 24/7, to keep you informed, to keep you company, and to entertain you as well. 24/7, we're not going anywhere. We're here with you, and we're all going to get through this together. 312-981-7200. Raleigh James is going to join us to talk conspiracies, and we'll probably talk a little bit about trucking as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. I know we're talking about ridiculous things that people did at work that should have gotten them fired but didn't. Here's David on WGN. Hi, David.
Hey, Nick. I have a little twist on the topic. I don't know if I fit it exactly, but I was working at Kentucky Fried Chicken way back in 1982 up in Highland Park, and my manager takes me in back one afternoon to tell me what a great job I'm doing. I'm really great with the customers, and I got a good attitude, and I'm really energetic, and just to keep on doing what I'm doing. So the next day, she's not there. There's this other manager. I think he's the district manager. He managed several locations. And I was having kind of a slow day. I was kind of tired, not my best. And he takes me in back and tells me that, I don't appear to be very exuberant about the job. My attitude is not good, and I'm very slow. And so he fires me.
Wow.
24 hours later.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wow.
And I was in shock. I just let him, or actually it was a her. Yeah. He was just one level above the manager I worked with the day before, and I let him have a gigantic, loud "F you."
Yeah,
and I stormed out of there.
Wow. Okay, that's pretty ridiculous. You get praised by one manager one day, and then you get fired the next. All right, David. Thanks, man. Sorry that happened to you.
Oh, that's so long ago, and I was actually kind of glad because I got a new job just a few days later.
Okay, David. Thanks.
Thanks.
Okay. Oh wow. All right. Here's one. Another story about somebody who did something outrageous that should have gotten him fired but didn't. A coworker asked to leave early and was told it was too busy and she was needed. She proceeded to cuss out the supervisor and stormed out. Supervisor calls her back a few minutes later to write her up for her little meltdown. Coworker has a bigger screaming meltdown, threatening the supervisor. Security had to come and escort her from the building. She walks back in an hour later, swearing at everyone. Security quickly escorts her out again. She was back the next day like nothing ever happened, still works there. She was usually a sweet lady. Wow, man. How do you not get fired for that? Swearing, threatening a supervisor? Wow. All right, here's Margarita on WGN. Hi, Margarita.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
I hope your mom and dad are doing well.
Yeah, they are.
Good. Glad to hear it. So my brother and I, Bruno, we were a year apart, and we were college students down at the U of I in Urbana. And one summer, we were home, and we got a factory job at a place called Newman Green. Mm-hmm. In Addison, Illinois, and Newman Green manufactured aerosol can parts. So I absolutely hated the job because it was so repetitive and boring. So every Friday, I didn't show up, and I would never even call in to tell them I wasn't coming. But my brother Bruno would show up Monday through Friday, and on Friday he would come in, right on time, and they'd say, "Bruno, where's your sister?" And it got to the point where it was so embarrassing for him. He would say, I don't know. I didn't spend Thursday night at home, so I don't know where she is. I don't know what's happening. And one Monday, I go to work, and Mr. Newman, who's the owner of the factory, he was a really, really great guy. And he said to me, he's probably in his late 50s, early 60s. And he said, Margarita, he said, I know you don't come in on Fridays and you don't call. You better make sure you marry a rich man.
Wow. So you just...
he was such a sweetheart, and he didn't fire me. Monday through Thursday, I did my job. I showed up on time. I did a good job, but I just couldn't come in on Fridays.
Was there a specific reason why you didn't want to come in on Friday?
I think by that time, I had just hit my limit,
Yeah.
And now I laugh because I'm an employment law attorney. And
oh.
So, I look back at this and I say, my God, if one of my clients told me that they had an employee who was conducting themselves like this, I would say, by all means, fire her.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great story. Thanks, Margarita.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, see you. 312-981-7200. Some texts here. 773 says, I was working for a phone company full-time in Leona's part-time. A customer called Illinois Bell. I answered, Leona's, may I help you? And he said, I want to connect my phone service, but I'll take a large sausage and mushroom. Hi, Nick. I work for Marshall Fields in their housewares department. I had a customer who insisted on looking at several sets of hand-painted dishes. The boxes were really heavy, and the stockroom was far from the cash register. I had to keep going back and forth for the new boxes. When I was done, I was so ticked off, I went back to the stock room and broke a bunch of glasses. No one knew. No consequences. All right. Here is Brenda on WGN. Hi, Brenda.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your story?
Well, I was working at this test scoring company in Chicago a long time ago, and a friend of mine there wanted to go home. So she figured that if she fainted, she would go home because she was sick. So she figured, she'll faint, and I'll scream after she falls, and other coworkers will come and run and help her. And she would say she was sick, and they would let her go home. So the first time she fell, now picture this, she's really tall, she's heavy busted, heavy hip, and she had on high heel boots and a skirt. Well, the first time she fell, her butt bounced, and it made me laugh. Because she didn't really, she started laughing. So she got up, and she tried to fall again. And this time, we both start laughing. So I said, you got to stop laughing. So she got up, and she tried to quietly fall again. And it would not work because both of us were just in tears laughing so hard.
Yeah.
And then she wanted to be sick so bad. So she got up. And she fell again, and I couldn't stop laughing. But people couldn't tell that I was laughing, that they thought I was crying because I was laughing so hard.
Yeah.
But it was so funny that she got to go home, and I'm surprised we didn't get caught because we tried at least 5 times for her to fall on the floor so that she could pretend to be sick. But it was just hilarious to watch. Her big butt and her big bust flopping all over the place, trying to faint and pretend she was sick.
Yeah. All right, Brenda. That's funny. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
The things that people will do to get out of work. Here's Rich on WGN. Hi, Rich.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. What's up?
I was telling you, call screener. This didn't happen to me, but I heard it through the company. I used to build things all over the country, and a lot of our work was out on the East Coast. Well, we would take, you know, we had to get hotels and stuff like that, so we had credit cards, and, you know, and we'd take vehicles, and our credit card had limits worth $60,000 on our credit cards. And I heard that one time they had a guy, the superintendent hated this guy for some reason and was taking him back to Chicago, driving back, and he just decided... He pulled over at a gas station in somewhere in Pennsylvania and just left him there. He took off. But he forgot that the guy had his credit card. So the guy got a limousine, took the limousine from the gas station to an airport, got a Learjet, flew back to Midway in the Learjet, and then took a limo home. You know, like, hey, screw you, screw me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I just died when I heard that.
That's it. And that was all on the credit card. On the credit card.
Yeah, he charged the whole thing on the credit card. It was unbelievable.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Yeah, it was good.
All right, Rich, thanks, man.
Okay, take care.
Take care. That's hilarious. That is hilarious. Here's Paul on WGN. Hi, Paul.
Hi there. Good evening.
Hi.
Way back in 1979, I was a manager for a major U.S. railroad. My boss's boss had been riding him and me for a year. And one day he started in on me and I lost it. I worked all day and I lost it. I called him. I used every word, called him every name you could think of, followed him to the parking lot, told him what a piece of crap he was.
Mm-hmm.
It was never mentioned. I figured I was fired. 2 weeks later, I got promoted.
That's not usually what happens in situations like that. That's crazy.
When I got home, a friend of mine called me. He'd been there, and he said, you should go back to the office and get your personal stuff because you're certainly fired.
And then you got promoted.
Yeah.
All right. That's a great story. Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
All right. Man. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got more stories here of people who did some stuff at work that should have gotten them fired but didn't. 312-981-7200 on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and coming up on just a little bit after midnight, Raleigh James is going to join us. We're going to talk conspiracies and much more. I mean, she wears so many hats and does so many things, and she's a wonderful character, and we're going to talk with her. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Been talking about things that people did at work that should have got them fired but didn't. Got a few more of these stories here. Back in high school, I did landscaping during the summers. I sunk a $10,000-plus commercial lawnmower, and I mean I sunk it, like 15 feet deep, 25 feet out of into a man-made pond. Did not get fired. $10,000 lawnmower sinks it, doesn't get fired. Let's try this one. Here's another story. Three dudes ran outside of the store. I worked at a pizza place. In the middle of the evening shift, they threw a pizza dough, a bag of pizza sauce and salad and all kinds of things at the side of the building while on the clock. They vandalized the store and the company's product while being paid. They did not get fired, and I ended up cleaning it all off the wall with still no raise. That's a bummer. They must have been really bored to just go outside and start throwing pizza dough and sauce at the wall. I never worked at a pizza place. I did work in fast food, though. I worked at McDonald's for a while, and you do get a little stir-crazy sometimes. How about this one? One of my coworkers threw a ketchup bottle at the boss's face. She ducked, and it splattered on the wall behind her, and she did not get fired. You threw a ketchup bottle at your boss? That doesn't seem right. And doesn't get fired. And what do you got to do to get fired? Why am I thinking that there was a movie where someone wanted to get fired and they kept doing really outrageous things and they would get worse and worse? Why am I thinking that there's a scene in a movie that exists like that where someone keeps coming back and doing like really ridiculous things? And still won't get fired, man. I know it exists. I just can't think of it. If that sounds familiar to anybody, it's a comedy. Obviously, I think it's a comedy. Someone keeps coming in, does the most outrageous things and stupid things. Oh man! But while trying to get fired, I can't. I know I can't think of it. If that's ringing anybody's bell, 312-981-7200. Here's another story of people doing outrageous things that did not get them fired. Once saw a valet flatten another customer's BMW with a gigantic truck as he was pulling out of the parking spot, and he stayed on for another year or so. A couple months after this, a guy was fired for taking his phone out on a slow night. So crushing a BMW is okay, but don't take your phone out on a slow night. Let's see. Another story here. The girl that sits next to me at work offered me a brownie, quote unquote, at my desk. It wasn't just a brownie, you could say. She didn't get fired, but she quit the next month. So she brought in pot brownies and was offering people pot brownies at work. How about this one? I screwed up pretty bad one Christmas. Was playing beer pong with friends, and we ran out of beer. No biggie. I managed a daiquiri shop in town, and regularly got beer after hours. Usually I just went alone, but I was too drunk, so we all piled in the car. We got to the shop. I do my thing, grab snacks, cigs, beer, etc. As I set the alarm and lock up, I come around the corner and 9 red dots are pointing at me. Cops are screaming, hands in the air, get to the ground, get on the ground. I throw everything down and the cops jump on me. They have all my friends spread eagle on the ground. Turns out someone broke into a business around the corner, so the cops thought we were the burglars. Called the owner. He comes to the store to confirm who I was. They let us go and keep the beer, only because I had left the money for it in the register. Boss man calls me the next day, gives me a $1,000 Christmas bonus and an old big screen. Um, 773 says it was early in my reaching career. One morning, the class clown limped into my classroom, teaching career, that should say, I guess. He said he fell. At recess, he asked if he could stay inside. I told him the fresh air would do him good. After recess, he came in limping. I asked him what happened. He said, I told you I fell. I told him he was limping on the other leg before. He tried to reverse his limp, causing him to fall. The whole class and I laughed. Unfortunately, this time he broke his ankle. My principal could not hide his smile. Oh, this is it. This is what I was thinking of. 3-1, thank you very much. George Costanza was trying to get fired from the New York Yankees. Yeah. That's what it was. That's what I was thinking of. Oh, man. How about this? My coworker accidentally blended his Band-Aid into a smoothie. Oh, God. Oh. Our boss had asked the dude to wear a glove. For some reason, he didn't. The poor customer had already drunk almost half the drink before she found out. Oh, man. This guy did not get fired for that? Blending his Band-Aid into a smoothie. Oof. All right, how about this? As a teen, I worked in a grocery store with this other teenage kid. Well, was goofing off till he got caught by a manager. The manager started reprimanding him when, mid-rant, the kid picked up a spray bottle full of cleaner and drenched the manager. The guy just walked away, didn't fire the kid, no mention of it. All right, how about this? I work at a bar that both adults and children come to. A 7-year-old asked for a Shirley Temple, which is Sprite and grenadine mix, and my coworker ended up giving her a Tito's vodka and grape juice, cranberry juice. The girl complains to her mom, claiming it doesn't taste like Sprite. As expected, the mom comes back to the bar and asks for 3 Sprites. Try not to put any booze in these. They're for the kids. I was confused since I hadn't found out until later. That happened about 2 months after he was hired. I have no idea if he's still there. A 7-year-old... gets a vodka cranberry. How do you not get fired? All right, and then this is the last one here. Forget to submit our grant reapplication to keep funding for our program. Everyone who worked for the program got laid off, and the manager forgot and got promoted. All right, no justice, man. No justice. So you just, Tom, you just figured I'm not coming in.
Well, yeah, I told them that I was going back to school. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yeah, I'm here for the summer. And they thought differently. Uh-huh. But that's okay because it was all right. It was just a summer job, man. Just a summer job.
Yeah. And you worked at Cheesy's.
Yeah, which there were some shenanigans there. Cheese fights mainly.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, usually on Sundays, because there'd be no one really coming in on a Sunday, and we would have to work, you'd be do a 10-hour. Instead of splitting it into 2 shifts, day and night, you'd just work a 10-hour.
Because they were only open for 10 hours, so you'd be there open to close? You'd be there open to close?
Open to close. Open to close. No one coming in. No bosses.
Oh, man.
Yeah, oh, because I worked up in Evanston. So the boss lived downtown. He didn't really bother coming up. So... We get in cheese fights, you know, just throwing slices of cheese at each other from across the restaurant.
Yeah.
Sitting down and, like, watching TV. No one's coming in. We're catching the midday movie on cable. Usually Top Gun.
Yeah. Well, sure. It's always Top Gun,
always
isn't it?
Top Gun, The Karate Kid.
Yeah.
And when people would come in, we'd just scramble and jump over and be like, yeah, we're working.
Yeah,
something's
happening. What do you want? You want a sandwich?
I'm guessing with cheese on it.
You want a cheese kind of sandwich? Or would you like me to just recite the lines from Karate Kid for you?
I could do both.
Yeah.
I could do both.
Yeah. Yeah. I would goof off at McDonald's. You know, working the overnight shift at Jewel was always fun, too. There would be a period of time when we'd be stir crazy. We'd be stuck in the Jewel. And then I think that the Jewel that they rebuilt there on Southport, that's where I worked. I worked at the old one. And but I think that Jewel's 24 hours. We weren't. So we were like locked in the building. We were like in the Jewel. Nobody else was there. We were cranking music and throwing stuff around and all that. So, all right. All right, we got the news coming up here, and then Raleigh James is going to join us.
The girl's got plenty good loving. Ask me how I know, and I'll tell you so. She was mine, I used to neglect her. Oh, she wanted more than I could give. But as long as I live, she'll be my girl. She used to be my girl. She used to be my girl.
So we were talking about jobs and weird things that you did at your jobs. Nick, I've never been fired, but I had to fire a few people in my past. Once I had to fire one of my drivers for dropping a deuce in someone's bushes. The neighbor across the street witnessed this and called it in because our company phone number was on the truck. Oh, man. My last job, I was able to do more than everyone else, so I saved some time. So I saved time during the week. I came over a few times on Saturday and Sunday, but I did nothing but watch movies and play games on my tablet while getting overtime pay. 815 says, Nick, you have me in stitches tonight. Thank you. We need that. So Raleigh James is here, and she's on a remote mic here, and so we're going to talk to her. Raleigh has done everything. She has hosted national radio talk shows. She's a web developer. She understands the trucking industry and so much more. She has wore many, many hats. Raleigh, are you there?
I am here, and I adored the woman whose friend was trying to faint to get out of work.
Isn't that...
I want a video of these two Einsteins. This is just great. Man, that's wonderful. But, you want to know what I did, right?
Well, yeah, because this story we are told is a great one. It involves you and a rental car. Could you please tell us this story?
Oh, well, firstly, that had nothing to do with work, but I will. But as far as work,
okay.
And it involves a car as well, I entered a news guy's car in a demolition derby. So that's the worst thing I ever did, and not get fired.
Well, wait a second, hold on. So I'm assuming the car got demolished?
Completely, and it should have been. And the reason I didn't get fired is every one of the jocks and me, you know, got together and bought him another old car that should have been in a demolition derby, but was slightly better than the one we destroyed.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. That is so funny. What was his reaction?
Well, he really was not that surprised in many ways. It was sort of like, oh, well, he was my favorite news guy because he had never actually heard CKLW in their, you know, Motor City Murder Meter click twice type news.
Right.
But he was just like that. And I remember one day there was some mobster who got killed on it, opened his front door. And so his news guy, who's no longer with us, Evan Carl, leads with, mowed down while cutting the grass, was 37-year-old.
Oh, man.
And he was just like Pigpen, and he took it in stride.
That's funny. Raleigh James is with us. So that story that we are told about the rented car, I got to hear this.
Everybody loves that story. Well, all right. I used to travel for a living, you know, as a record promoter and things like that, and I'd rent cars everywhere. And invariably, things would happen. And I remember one time in New Orleans, I returned a Hertz car to Hertz with no damage that I had done, and they looked at it and saw some damage. And I said, I didn't do that. And they said, well, it wasn't on the form. Yeah, we don't have that checked off. This must be your fault. So I said, can I have that form? And they gave it to me, and I paid my money, and I left. And I had a reason to come back to New Orleans about 6 months later, and I looked at the form, and there was something I didn't see on it.
Mm-hmm.
The car I got was green, and I took it to Earl Shive, 1999, any color. That shows you how old it is.
Yeah.
I had it painted pink. And I returned it to Hertz a week later. It wasn't on the form. No one said a word. To this day, I don't know when somebody discovered that they had a pink car with a green interior.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Boy, yeah, Earl Shive. Remember Earl Shive? Is Earl Shive still around?
Well, it's probably $129.95 or more now.
Yeah, yeah. I remember there used to be an Earl Shive right in my old neighborhood, not very far, because I grew up here in Chicago near Wrigley Field, which is where the Cubs play. And there was an Earl Shive about four blocks away from Wrigley that we would walk past every time we would go to a Cub game.
Oh, yeah. Any car, any color, 1995.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You had asked me last week about the oddest non-radio job.
Yeah.
And all of the ones that came to mind, I kind of edited out immediately as not suitable for radio. But I realized it for a lot of reasons. But I realized afterwards that I did have the perfect non-radio job to tell you about.
Okay.
And I don't know why I didn't think about it, because the subtitle is, I was sure I was going to be murdered by the mob.
What?
And, oh, yeah. I was convinced I was gone. So here is what happened. I had been working at, in fact, the radio station where I had the Demolition Derby event. And I had left and was looking for work. And I got a recommendation to become a graphic artist. Now, what's odd about this is I can't draw a straight line with a ruler. And it turned out I was a pawn in somebody's plan, and never mind that. But the bottom line was they were going to put me in this job. And so I went to the interview, and the guy who had the company, it was Bill Bodenhammer, and this guy was good. He did the Dolphins logo, and the early Dolphins logo, and then all the others. He did the U in University of Miami later, mm-hmm. a Ryder truck, on and on and on. So he's got all these credentials, and I just look at him and I say, you know, I can't even sign on the dotted line and stay within the lines. You got the job. So I didn't really question why. And he was good in that all he had me doing was paste-ups. And, you know, I remember I did some chain Tony Roma's and some other menus, and I did some dime store things that nobody cared about. And then here comes this full-page color ad in the Miami Herald. And it's for Hialeah Racetrack. And the deal was, it was going to say in big letters, perfecta, and then two paragraphs about the perfecta, and then trifecta, and two paragraphs about the trifecta. Mm-hmm. And that was their ad. Well, the typesetters, of course, set for convenience. And what they, John, my husband, just walked in. I'll tell you, he said, the hell with painting the rental car. Tell him about the furry meteor. But I'll get to that some
other. Okay, all right.
Anyway, so the typesetter set this for convenience. They put the two italicized paragraphs together and the two block paragraphs together. Now, the way it turned out, the two italicized were paragraph 2 and 4, and the block paragraphs were 1 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't do that. I just cut them out, perfecta. The first paragraph about the perfecta, the first paragraph about the trifecta, then trifecta, the second paragraph about both. The ad, full color, makes no sense whatsoever. I get a call from some gruff voice at Hialeah wanting to know if I knew how to read. Well, at this point, I thought, it's over. They don't fire me. Instead, they put me on another project. I now have to do calendars because Tropical, another racetrack, they had all the mob, had a summer meet for the first time, and they wanted me to do the pay stub. So back then, nothing's computerized. So you know, every little number in every little square. And so you get bored, and after a while, you start going 1, 8, 15, 20, you know, like that. Well, this was all fine except July, the week of the 14th through the 7th. Yeah, I got them backwards.
Oh.
Well, they printed up a quarter of a million of these.
Oh.
And I get a call from another gruff voice, not the same gruff voice, a different gruff voice saying, hey, hey, yo, we heard that Hialeah wants to know if you know how to read. We here at Tropical need to know if you know how to count. I said, oh, God. So I still didn't get fired. And finally, after a while, I just said, I got to leave. I'm too embarrassed. I cannot do this. And they said, you're welcome here as long as you want. And they paid me.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
All right. Raleigh, hang on, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Raleigh James is with us. Raleigh, and she's great and has so many great stories. And we got to hear the story about the fuzzy meteor, was it? Is that what she said? Okay. Hey, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. First of the month, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. Nick DiGilio here. Raleigh James is my guest. She does everything, and she tells great stories, and we love having her on. Raleigh, you are here.
I am here.
All right. So but before the break, your husband came into the room and said that you should tell the, is it the fuzzy meteor story?
The,
is that what
we're furry.
Oh, furry. Furry meteor. Yeah. Okay.
He heard the rental car stories and remembered this one. It was 1992, actually, and I was living in Rockford, Illinois.
Ah, yes.
Which was fascinating because I worked at the AM station at 1440 on your dial, which, as you can figure out, is the second harmonic of 720. So I could be in the parking lot at night hearing WGN.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine my attitude at this point. But they paid me well and treated me nice, so I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I wound up on the campaign trail with the Libertarian candidate for president, Andre Marou. And, of course, I'd always been a Corvette driver, which will break down in the middle of everywhere. And so it was that I rented a car because we were going to go to some campaign stop off an interstate in Michigan.
Okay.
And so I've got the rental car from Enterprise or one of those, not a big company. And I'm on this two-lane road in Michigan, so it was bound to happen. The deer and I collided.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, they are suicidal. How long have there been cars on the road? Over 100 years. Their DNA hasn't caused them to realize this. They absolutely will get you. And so it was that maybe it was homicidal. I don't know, but either way, I hit it. And so now, since this is decades after the Hertz experience, I'm smart. I read the rental car agreement. And I see, oh, it covers acts of God.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there, and with a straight face, I said, I was driving back from Michigan, and a meteor hit it. So this woman runs out to see the car, and she looks at it and says, there's fur coming out of the grill. And I said, it was a furry meteor. And I just looked straight at her, and she just said, I guess I've got to give you the claim.
Oh, man.
And so the furry meteor, and I paid not a dime for the damage.
Wow. Wow. That's unbelievable.
You just have to do it with a straight face.
I guess you do. Yeah, I guess you do. I love that you'd say that deer are suicidal. That's
they are.
Yeah.
You know, come on. I mean, you'd think that by now they would have, you know, on some cellular level, have understood cars.
Yeah, you know, and they tend to, when they do get out there on the road, you know, and they usually cross where there is no deer crossing sign. It's usually as far away from the deer crossing sign as you can possibly imagine.
They can't read.
Well, a couple of texts are coming in. Let's see. 708 says, can you ask Raleigh which truck stop has her favorite buffet?
Well, you know, everybody always has to go with Iowa 80, but there were so many, and they changed over the years. But the Union 76 in Slidell used to be great. The Mid-America in West Memphis, Arkansas was good. There were many.
Yeah, the one on 80 here that's on the border between us and Iowa, that's the one that all, you know, whenever we talk to the truckers, that's the one that they always rave about.
Well, it's the biggest one. I mean, it's just you got to, there's a couple places you have to stop. Just like when you're going through the Dakotas, you got to stop at Wall Drug. You know, there's just places, and of course all the roadside attractions. Although I'm very disappointed at what happened to the thing in Arizona. I just haven't gotten over that.
What's the thing in Arizona? What happened to it?
All right. Well, here's the deal. It had been around since the early '60s, and it was, you'd see a billboard every 20 miles saying the thing. You know, they want you to stop off and see the thing. And so you do finally, if you're persuaded by billboards, which I was. And I remember originally it was in this convenience store, and there were these three rickety old trailers behind it. And you pay your dime back then originally. Now it's a dollar something, I think. But and you'd go through them. And what I loved about it was the thing was they couldn't prove any of it. Like, they had a car and they said, this was Hitler's car. The thing is, we're not sure. And so everything is the thing, the thing, the thing. Well, anyway, the lawyer and his wife who started this, they died, and it was taken over by Bolins. And Bolins, you know, all the truckers who truck through New Mexico know Bolins, for instance. Bolins teepees, Bolins trading posts, it's everything. And they're a big chain, nothing wrong with them, except they obviously don't get it. They redid the thing about a year ago. They spent a fortune. They demolished the trailers. They built this. They probably spent $1 million on this thing. And they removed the joke. It no longer says the thing. It now says, what if?
Oh, come on.
What do you mean, what if? The thing. The thing is, we're not sure. You know, like they had aliens and things like that. And the guy who made the aliens was, he was a Mormon guy from Arizona who made the best paper mache things. And every few years, the cops would get a call that somebody found a shrunken head. And they say, oh, no, it's the guy in Arizona and all that. His family finally made him stop. But he had made the thing for the thing. And it was wonderful. It's not even there anymore.
Oh, wow. And it's not even called the thing anymore. It's just
no. You go in, and instead of the thing, it says what if. Now on all the billboards, it says the thing. Stop and see the thing. Stop and see the thing.
Oh,
but you stop and see the thing, and there's no thing.
You're right. Oh, that's just ridiculous.
They didn't understand the joke.
You mentioned roadside attractions. What are some of the more memorable roadside attractions? We were just talking about truck stops and stuff, but what about the roadside attractions, more unique ones?
Well, you have to go to the world's largest anything, the world's largest ball of twine, the world's largest buffalo, the world's largest whatever. They're all good. But on I-15 between Los Angeles and Las Vegas is the Area 51
shop.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I've got a license plate on the front of my car. It says Area 51. And what's interesting is I go to Nevada fairly regularly. I'll park in a hotel. They'll come to the front of the car to get the license plate, not understanding that there are no front of the car license plates in Nevada or Arizona, and they write down Area 51. Okay. Like, wait a minute. So, but there are still wonderful attractions as far as that goes, but the Mon Pas kind of faded away with the Mother Roads, the Route 66s of the world, and the two lanes and all that. But you can still find some things.
I remember my parents and I drove to Florida way back. I mean, this is like when Disney World first opened. It was like 1972, I think.
All right.
And we drove, you know, down to Florida, and you know, there were tons. There were a lot more, as you just mentioned, Raleigh. There were so many more roadside attractions back then. Little ones, dumb ones. And my dad was a sucker. It still is, I think. Would be if he was driving, you know, long distances. A sucker for, you know, any kind of roadside attraction. And I happen to be a horror nut, Raleigh. I love horror movies. I love things that are scary, and grew up watching the Universal Monsters and all that stuff. So anything that's like sort of scary related, you know, my dad knows that I love. We were driving down to Florida, and we kept seeing these signs on the side of the road, these small little weird little signs that said haunted house, you know, 4 miles up, best haunted house in the country, 2 miles. And then finally, you know, we're like, well, we have to go. So we pull in, and we go in. There's no parking lot or anything. We just get there, and it just looks like a regular house, like somebody's living in there. It doesn't look like a business at all. So we go in, and a weird looking woman comes out, to the desk and says, yeah, this is how much it is, and we can walk through the house. So we go in, and we went along with my cousins and my aunt as well. And so we all go in, and it was the scariest thing ever. Like, it traumatized us. There were people chasing us with chainsaws. It was the scariest thing ever, and it looked like a regular house. There was nothing crazy about it. My mom was traumatized by it. I remember her crying when we got out of there. She was outside in the, you know, like in the yard, just like bawling her eyes out. I was terrified. And we went back in to they were going to give us like a certificate that we passed, you know, like we got a certificate of like heroism or something because we passed. But that was one of those things. And I mentioned this on the air a bunch of years ago, Raleigh, and I can't tell you the number of people who either called in or texted us saying that they went to that haunted house, too. And it was the scariest thing that they'd ever seen. But that was one of those deals where we were just driving down the road and we saw these little signs, and it ended up being one of the most memorable parts of that trip. And I'm talking about Disney World.
Now, was this in Alabama?
No, it was Florida.
It was in Florida.
Yeah, it was in Florida. It was on our way. We finally got, you know, it was in Florida. We weren't, you know, obviously quite to Orlando yet. We were on our way, and that's when we saw it. This was definitely in Florida.
Wow. I wonder if it's still there.
I don't think it is. Because I brought this up a bunch of years ago on the show, and I couldn't believe how many responses I got from listeners saying that they too were traumatized by this weird haunted house in Florida. And then we looked it up, and I think they closed down, but there were posts on it on the internet. This has sort of become a legendary roadside attraction where people just got the hell scared out of them.
That's wonderful. Well, you got your money's worth.
Yes, we certainly did. And we still talk about it now. This was 1972. And, you know, we still talk about it. Raleigh, hang on. All right, there we go. Raleigh James is with us. And we're going to talk about conspiracy theories. She loves to talk about conspiracy theories. And I got some of the most popular conspiracy theories that we are going to talk about. And we'd love to hear from you. Talk or text 312-981-7200. Treat her like a lady. It's a Wednesday morning. 312-981-7200. Rabbit. It's also April Fool's Day, and we're going to talk about how stupid April Fool's Day is, and pranks that have been played in the past. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got to know your onion coming up too. That's where you call in. We get two contestants, and Tom will read a news headline to you, and you have to guess whether it's real or it's from the satirical newspaper, The Onion, because it's very difficult nowadays because real news is so weird. So we love having a little bit of Know Your Onion, so that's coming up. We always play back some classic Carson, Johnny Carson show you can watch on Antenna TV every night. It's the best, and we're going to play a little Buddy Hackett. That's always good. Always good. Raleigh James is with me. Raleigh.
Yeah.
I know that you like conspiracy theories, and we, you know, in the last segment you mentioned Area 51, and that's probably mm-hmm. one of the biggest American conspiracy theories military operations out there. And was it last year when people were going to storm Area 51?
Right, and they didn't.
No. Well, I mean, it's a military facility. You shouldn't. That's not a good idea. I mean, it's legitimately a military facility.
Yeah, you can go to the airport every day and watch the Janets, the 727s, the takeoff from the airport and land in Area 51. And you always want to question the people, but you never do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here are some other ones that if you have. Well, first of all, do you have a favorite conspiracy theory?
Oh, if we're talking about COVID-19, aliens are in there now. That has made it. There are those who believe that this is all a cover-up, a giant cover-up, because of an alien invasion.
Oh, now, really?
There's another camp that believes, oh, no, the virus is very real, and this is how we're going to get the aliens here to leave the planet. And then there was the group that said, oh, no, no, it's covering up the giant meteor that's coming to kill us. Well, it's too late. That was last month, and it only missed us by 4 million miles,
right,
though. But it was 3,250 feet in diameter. So, yeah, covering up all the aliens, you betcha.
That's always the thing. How about this one? Truman Capote wrote To Kill a Mockingbird. That's a conspiracy theory. It wasn't Harper Lee.
Yeah. Oh, if you're talking about conspiracy theories in general.
Yeah, now, yeah, in general.
You will not run out of them. But,
yeah.
I thought we have so many because there's really probably no better incident than COVID-19 to spawn conspiratorial
sure.
theories.
Sure.
You know, it was the CIA who invented the concept
of the conspiracy theory?
Yes. And it's absolutely true. And this was in order to prevent people from questioning official accounts. What had happened was citizens were doubting the Warren Commission's account of the Kennedy Assassination.
Oh, sure.
And so those who doubted it, they positioned them as conspiracy theorists to cause them to be seen as crackpots by the general public. So conspiracies arise anytime facts and evidence don't line up with the official reaction or explanation of any event.
Mm.
And you're not going to get a better pot than COVID-19.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that this is going to go on. I mean, the conspiracies about this are going to go on forever.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. We got, so did Capote write Mockingbird is another one. Roswell, New Mexico is famous for the center of UFO-focused conspiracy theories.
Which 1947.
1947, July 4th, 1947.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Went out to his sheep pasture in Roswell, Mac Brazel.
Mm-hmm.
Went out to his sheep pasture in Roswell, New Mexico, and found some unusual objects, including metallic sticks, foil reflectors, and paper scraps. And since he had no idea what the objects were, he called the local sheriff, who then called Roswell's Army Air Force, and the pieces were swiftly taken by in armored trucks. And then they said that a few days later they published an article that said they captured flying saucer on a ranch in the Roswell region, and then that started the whole conspiracy thing.
And, of course, that was completely covered up. And, there's also Socorro, New Mexico. And then, of course, as you start to get up toward Los Alamos, you also have underground cities under New Mexico that contain aliens and things of that nature, of course.
Yeah, it just keeps, I mean, and it keeps going. People love to keep telling conspiracy theories. Because sometimes it's fun to listen to them. I mean, most of them, you know, 99% of them are absurd, but it's kind of fun to see how outrageous people get with some of these things.
Well, some of them are good fun, but some of them, as I say, arise when the known facts of an issue don't match the reaction to the issue. And then a lot of people start to look into this. And yes, it becomes outrageous. Right now, they're claiming COVID-19 is a weapon of mass distraction, as I like to call it.
Mm.
In addition to covering up the aliens and the meteors, it's covering up government bills that are being passed. And the president just inked a 5G expansion bill, and that gets to the 5G theory. You know, it's not a virus. It's 5G towers that are doing us in.
What?
Oh, you don't know about this?
No.
Okay, well, this is proof that a class action suit against middle school biology teachers would be overwhelmingly successful. A little knowledge is not better than none.
Right.
The theory here is that since viruses are not living things, you cannot catch them. And what's really destroying us is the proliferation of 5G technology. The virus is simply a cover-up. Now, China has over 100,000 5G towers, and Wuhan is the most connected 5G city in the world. And, therefore, including the recently launched satellites in accompanying 5G, this is messing with human beings because man is an electronic being. Physicists, by the way, will groan at that.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, frequencies can be his demise. It's the smart meter on steroid conspiracy. And there are people who absolutely believe this is all a cover-up because 5G will kill us. And I should point out that as for viruses not being alive, by definition, they straddle living and non-living, kind of like an android, the robot, not the operating system.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's fascinating to see how people will embellish these stories and show you everything to point out that they're absolutely right about this.
Yeah.
Now, it's bioengineered, as you know, and you can take your pick, white hat or black hat, Now, of course, white hat, we're always bioengineering viruses. That's how we get vaccines. It's, you know, they mutate quickly and they're wholly dependent upon the host, us, for survival. So any of the easy panoramic cures would kill us, too. So they're always trying to find something that's going to work for the next season.
Wow.
Now, when you bioengineer something, you've got the potential of creating a frankengerm. So the white hat theory is that a particularly virulent frankengerm is on the loose.
Mm.
And the black hat theory is that it's biowarfare. And when you start to buy into this, there are a lot of sub-theories right now. China released it because its economics is shaky. The whole economic system of China is going to fall apart, and they want to make sure that the rest of the world goes with them. They want to level the playing field. It's an experiment in how easily fright causes people to hand over their rights. And then, of course, the globalists are taking over. Are you familiar with David Icke?
I am not.
Oh, you should be. He is a former BBC sportscaster. He turned conspiratorialist. He, honest to God, believes that shape-shifting reptiles are running the world. And so he absolutely is convinced this is true. And his theory on this is all about filthy lucre, that basically this is the way they're going to get us off cash currency worldwide and come up with a global currency that will be digital.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, then that runs into the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor reserve. That's not a conspiracy. It's the truth. And they're benefiting big time with their $5 trillion in assets, and they're using it to build up their holdings in cahoots with the Bank of International Settlements.
Mm.
You got Big Pharma. They're hiding the solution. They're hiding the way to slow it down so people can get sicker and they can sell more drugs. Mm. Hiding it because they're part of an effort to depopulate the planet using unproven vaccines. Mm. It's a way to kill the Constitution. Maybe. Under the guise of rumor control, they'll kill free speech. It's a way to take over businesses, private property, the entire internet. Actually, we don't have enough capacity as it is. Maybe this is going to be a way to improve it. But it's a way to bring us all single-payer health care or to accept government intrusion into your every thought. You know, the government is tracking every cell phone right now, and bosses are tracking every keystroke at home. Yeah. And, of course, God is in control. It was predicted. And you get Sylvia Brown's book, which you've heard about. Unfortunately, everything else she predicted didn't come to pass, but people are highlighting this one. And why not? Dean Kutz's book, 1981, where he talks about Wuhan 400. And, of course, Nostradamus predicted everything, don't you know?
Yeah.
But in the God is in control arena, Hobby Lobby explained that when closing the stores and terminating the employees in an email recently. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation created it. Because they have a patent on the vaccine for it. Evidence includes their exercise last fall in conjunction with Johns Hopkins for Event 201. That was a viral pandemic. HHS, our own HHS, Health and Human Services, led an exercise Crimson Contagion last year because they knew in advance this was coming. Now, my favorite, though, is there's just nothing to it. President Lukashenko of Belarus refuses to cancel anything because he's sure that vodka and saunas will ward off everything. Last weekend, he took part in an ice hockey match, declaring that ice hockey is the best antivirus remedy. Disclaimer, heat's more likely to kill it than ice. So those are a few that have been on my mind in the last couple days.
And they're going to continue, too.
Of course. Yeah. No, they're going to get better.
Yeah. They're going to get bigger and crazier and better.
And it's manna for the politically aligned. You know, the pro-Trump camp, this is the Democrats causing the economy to fail ahead of the election. He'll lose. The anti-Trump camp, this is Trump doing it so he can close the border and stay in office past November. And I just look at the definition of politics. Poly means many, and ticks are blood-sucking parasites, and I leave it at that. And then, of course, you know, Nancy Pelosi and her staff didn't write a 1,400-page bill in 2 days. Well, hell no, of course you didn't. It's the Rahm Emanuel method of never let a crisis go to waste, and both parties do it.
All right, Raleigh, hang on, okay?
Yeah.
All right, Raleigh, Raleigh James is with us, and she wears many hats and talks about many things and you know, has hosted national top-rated nightly talk shows on the radio as well, has a lot of experience in that department. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's Nick DiGilio on WGN. It's Nick DiGilio here, and the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right now, Raleigh James is here, and we've been talking conspiracy theories. Raleigh, we got one of our regular listeners who has called in before when you've been on. Our good friend Doc is on the line. Hello, Doc.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I want to ask something about President Obama, but first let me say, last night before I left Kansas City, I saw a thing on Tucker Carlson, and they were saying that the bats at the wet market that probably caused this virus are not the ones that are normally sold there. They are only found at the two government labs right by there. One's virology and the other one's germ warfare. So those conspiracy theories are everywhere.
Yeah.
But I want to know what she knows about Obama. There's all kinds of theories about him. Was he just a master of self-promotion? But there's all this stuff about no records, no samples of his writing. He never wrote anything when he was when he was at Harvard, and just all kinds of stuff. That was he handpicked by somebody to do this? And what do you think about all that?
All the crazy Obama conspiracies.
They all center around him being a Manchurian candidate. They all fall off of that. And I think the oldest one was that, well, long before he was even running, the Democrats were trying to change the Constitution so a non-citizen could run. And that was the first theory. And then, of course, there were all, is he a citizen or not? And you got to Occidental, the college in California where theoretically he was in the foreign student's dorm. And you got to his Social Security number, which was obtained by his grandmother in Hawaii, but really belong to a 75-year-old woman in Connecticut. And you can go on and on down that list. And then you get into, well, the reason that he was picked, of course, is because you can control him. He's nothing but a puppet. And you're back to Manchurian candidate. But it's endless. Michelle Obama's not a woman. I could go on forever on this. Recently, when people were talking about the lack of masks in some place, Obama has come up again. It's because he didn't replenish them in 2009. So what subtext on Obama are you looking for, since there are literally thousands of these?
Yeah. Doc?
Yeah. I was just wondering what you believe out of all that stuff.
Well,
things about, you know, no access to his college records and that he didn't write his own, you know, his own books and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, that's why the conspiracy theories take hold, and that's just as true with COVID-19. Again, when the official explanations don't line up, people go crazy. Now, I can tell you that you're absolutely right. There's a dearth of information on a number of things, but from there, if we extrapolate it out to say, I know I've got the answer, I got to tell you, the Illuminati aren't calling my home number to tell me, so it's pure conjecture. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right, Doc, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200. You know, we have a local conspiracy theory here in Chicago that I think you might find amusing, Raleigh.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. It involves Mattress Firm stores. So there are, like, a lot of mattress stores in Chicago, and many of them are, like, a couple of blocks away. In 2018, a Reddit user brought attention to the fact that there were a high concentration of Mattress Firm stores in certain areas of the U.S., especially in Chicago. The Reddit thread quickly went viral with thousands sharing photos and maps to show that Mattress Firm stores within a half a mile of each other, sometimes even across the street. And then this led to people saying it's a money laundering business. Mattress Firm is some sort of giant money laundering scheme, one Reddit user said. I remember seeing four Mattress Firms all on the corner at one different intersection, and there was no way that there was such demand for mattresses.
So this actually was worthy of NPR, which did a story on this in December of 2018. They did it from Midtown, New York, standing in front of the mattress store.
Okay.
And, that it's a giant money laundering operation.
Yeah.
Anything's possible. I drove by one with someone in the car who said, I don't like firm mattresses. I want a place where I can get soft mattresses. Oh, God help us. So why not?
There's another one. Have you heard about there are a number of conspiracy theories that involve the Denver International Airport?
Oh, my God, yes. Well, I was at KOA when this was being decided.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, I had T-shirts that said Pena's last great erection was the DIA, Denver International Airport. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it isn't in Denver, as you probably know. Stapleton was a wonderful airport. It was right in town. Of course, it had the distinction of being a little too close to an arsenal and some other problems, and they really needed to grow. And so it was that they were going to Tornado Alley. And so they went out to, I guess it's by Fort Lupton, to build this airport. Now, the part that I thought was funny is, you know, Denver is the Front Range of Colorado, and they are nothing if not confirmed eco-wackos. And so it was years ago when the government was going to give them funds to build a loop, I-470, around the city. Oh, no, we don't want to uproot the trees, right? Mm-hmm. So, of course, to get to DIA, they have to build a loop. It's C-470. The state had to pay for it.
Mm.
So, anyway, but yes, underneath and the Illuminati symbols, and there are entire videos on the Denver International Airport.
Yeah, I've always found those to be fascinating. And it's just concentrated on the Denver International Airport. It's nuts.
Alex Jones is famous for those. I don't know if you're aware of Alex's work, but he's up there with David Icke, and you shouldn't miss him.
And there are videos all over the place, as you were just saying about it. It just doesn't stop. We've got Tyrone on WGN. Go ahead, Tyrone.
Oh, thanks for letting me on, Nick. Well, I have a question for you, Raleigh.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have a member of the family that believes that this was caused by the globalists in order to crash the economy. What is your opinion about that one? Is that fact or is that fiction?
Well, you know, of course, that's the beauty of a conspiracy. We don't know.
Right.
What I will say is, again, that the current facts don't equal the current response. And let me back up a minute and explain in a logical way why that is the case. And that's COVID-19 zoonotic. It migrated from animals to humans. And, of course, that means humans have no built-up immunity. Now, if it was just animals to humans, there would be no transmission risk, a very low one. But the virus mutated, so now it spreads human to human. Now, that makes the lack of immunity a serious issue. And that's where everybody's bells and whistles go off. But exactly what it will do is a prediction. These are all based on modeling. So we're operating under predictive models of what could happen, not what has happened, not what definitely will happen. And everything's under the better safe than sorry model. And when you realize that no one alive today has ever lived in America under the restrictions they're living under now, people, when they look at these numbers, say, what the heck is going on? And that's why there are so many conspiracies. And, you know, hopefully it will be much ado about nothing and that the models won't be as dire as some think. But, of course, that's where you get into the globalism. And as I say, David Icke thinks it's the final way to get rid of paper currency. You know, the idea that everything will have to be digital marks and the globalists will be able to be more entrenched in this. And, you know, that's as possible as anything else. But like I say, the Illuminati, they won't answer my phone calls.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you think?
Yeah, you got Tyrone.
Tyrone, what do you think?
I think people that believe in the globalists and that there's a lab that this was created in Wuhan with multiple strains that came from Australia, I think people that believe this kind of thing are kooks, because I have to have facts in order to believe it.
Well, right, and you will not get facts about that. But as I say, at this moment in time, you will not get facts that will explain the extent of our reaction, and that's why the quote-unquote kooks are on steroids at this point in time.
Yeah. All right, Tyrone, thanks for the call.
Okay, Nick.
All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You know, some of the other theories that have been around for a long time, I love the Jimmy Hoffa conspiracy stuff.
That's, oh, of course.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. That's one of my favorites.
I hope we never find out. You know, that'll put good rumors to waste.
Yeah. Let's see. Some people believe that the Joplin tornado of 2011 was actually created by the military. That's that the military and the government get blamed for a lot of stuff, right?
Well, weather engineering, of course. That was all of New Orleans and the hurricane and Katrina and all of that. So sure, you betcha.
Yeah.
And you know, again, all of these theories, you know, not to put my tinfoil hat onto one of my many others, but all of these theories come from at least a kernel of truth. And in addition to that, they all come from a dearth of solid information.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? Who knows? I wonder what the heck chemtrails are. You can't tell me they're contrails. I know they're not, but I don't know what they are.
Yeah. And whenever, you know, there are questions about anything, people will theorize forever.
Sure.
And it that's not going to stop. In fact, that's going to increase, as we mentioned before.
Well, and we just hope that at this point in time, this pandemic, that the modeling will not be accurate and this will resolve quickly. And fine, let people all say, see, it was a big conspiracy, but there'll be more of us living.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, on that note, Raleigh, I want to thank you again for joining us. It's always a delight to have you on. And you know, you can talk about basically anything, and that's one of the things that I really like about you, Raleigh. And it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. Carry on.
Okay, there you go. She's great. Raleigh James is her name, and has hosted national radio talk shows. She is an expert in the field of trucking. Always has something to say about that, and we thank her for joining us. We really appreciate that. She's also a published author and so much stuff. You know, looking at her background and what she does, it's really amazing. And a great public speaker as well, as you can tell. So always great to have her all on, and we look forward to the next time we visit with her right here on 720 WGN.
But I'd like to get to know you.
Yes, I would.
But I'd like to get to know you.
If I could.
But I'd like to get to know
you. Finally, I tried searching all around. Just was not the answer. What I thought was true looked a bit like you. I figured I might chance her.
But I'd like to get to know you.
Yeah, man.
Yes, I would.
But I'd like to get to know you.
All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Some classic Carson comedy. The Johnny Carson Show is on Antenna TV every night, and it's just classic going back and watching those great episodes. And we always play a little bit of it at 2:30, and we'll do that again this morning. Coming up, Buddy Hackett. Buddy Hackett, man. The thing about Buddy Hackett, you familiar with Buddy Hackett, Tom?
Only by means of classic Carson, really.
Buddy Hackett, you know, he would be on Carson. He was very funny on Carson. He was in, like, you know, the Herbie the Love Bug movies. I'm sure you grew up on the Lindsay Lohan one.
I wouldn't say grew up, but I definitely knew it existed.
But, I mean, the Love Bug, sometimes I think it's the first movie I ever saw. It's either that or Jungle Book was the first movie I ever saw in a theater. I think it's Jungle Book, but Love Bug was right around the same time. And Buddy Hackett's in the Love Bug movies. So, you know, but in reality, if you went to go see Buddy Hackett, like in a nightclub, filthy. Filthy. Worked blue as you can possibly be blue. But he was such a lovable guy. You know, like you'd see him and, you know, he's got that great voice and his great delivery. But yeah, he would work real blue. People used to be like shocked when they went to go see Buddy Hackett, you know, oh, he's so charming and funny on the Tonight Show and we love him in the Love Bug. And then he comes out in filth flarn, you know? So we'll hear a little, Buddy Hackett. 312-981-7200. We'll also have another round of Know Your Onion. Tom will be your host, and you have to tell the difference between a real news headline and a headline from the satirical fake newspaper, The Onion. And if you can get the majority of them correct, you win. That's what happens. You win.
This week is dedicated to Nick's dad because of last week we forgot.
Oh, yeah. My dad was not happy that we forgot to do it. We did it on Thursday last week, but my dad was not happy that we skipped because he loves Know Your Onion. He loves it. So we'll do that. That's coming up at 3:30. So it's April Fool's Day. And never been a fan. Never been a fan. You ever pull any April Fool's Day jokes?
Not really April Fool's Day. I've pranked, but April Fool's Day, I don't know. I prefer the element of surprise.
Okay. Well, we were talking about some of this stuff before, like with the left-handed Whopper. They took out an ad. Burger King took out an ad advertising the on April 1st, advertising the left-handed Whopper. And, you know, it's interesting to see what people, because, you know, of course, today, and I hope it's not, I hope people will pull back on doing the stupid stuff on the internet, because it all pops up on the internet. Like, all the April Fool's Day jokes pop up on the internet. The fake stories, you know, pop up on the internet. But I really hope people pull back on posting that kind of stuff because of the current situation. You know, people are freaking out already as they scroll through their news feed or go online. There's already enough tension in the world where we don't need to add more to it by making people freak out over something that's not true because it's April Fool's Day. You know what I mean? Just didn't. It's bad enough already, man. You know? I've never been a fan of April Fool's Day. I like the movie. I like the slasher movie, April Fool's Day.
I don't think I've seen that one.
You haven't seen April Fool's Day?
I have not, admittedly.
It's really good. It's a classic, you know, I think I'm going to say late 80s, 87 maybe, 88. And it's good, man. It's actually a really, really smart and also funny slasher.
Yeah, 1986.
Yeah.
I guess you could say that April Fool's Day is no joke.
Yeah. You know, and again, you know, how many slasher movies have been made with a holiday in the title? Or, you know what I mean? After Halloween, it was all over. So, it's April Fool's Day. This is what they say. This is from The Guardian. So this is, these are the Brits talking. It's April Fool's Day, joy of joys. What else could be more fun than all of society come up with their best jokes in mass and showing them to the world? Nothing apart from maybe pouring lemon juice on a vicious paper cut. Not a fan. Person not a fan. In case that last sentence was too subtle, I'm not a fan of April Fool's Day. This might surprise regular readers, given that this blog regularly features the most frivolous and ridiculous non-stories, in the science section, no less. So surely I approve of April Fool's, but no, I can't stand it. It grates on my nerves. And judging by most of the online reactions I've seen thus far, I'm far from alone on this. Why? Why would an occasion which, whatever it is, confusing origins, if it's having a laugh, be so infuriating? Well, there are several reasons, both social and psychological. It's too familiar, first of all. There was a time when high-profile April Fool's Day jokes were new and unfamiliar. As a result, they could be very effective, especially if they featured in the mainstream mainstream media, which at the time was limited to about three channels and the occasional smoke signal. The idea that primetime television would dedicate precious and valuable airtime to a practical joke, well, that just wouldn't have occurred to most people, would it? Why would it? Those days are long gone, though, and you can't go back. For a joke to work, it has to be surprising to some degree. Familiarity with the enemy is an effective joke, but which is one reason why joke thieves are so annoying. When we're bombarded with all manner of outlets,
entirely ruining the crop generally impairs the flavor and makes it difficult for him to obtain top prices in world markets. But now these dangers are over, and the spaghetti harvest goes forward. Spaghetti cultivation here in Switzerland is not, of course, carried out on it.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. And you know what makes it even more ridiculous is how stodgy the BBC is. You know what I mean? Like, how the BBC is, you know, considered pretty stodgy, very serious.
Yeah, it's the BBC.
Yeah.
You know?
That's really ridiculous.
And I cannot tell you. I will have to. I got to describe this to you. It's these, like, Italian women just and going up to, like, trees and bushes that are just covered in spaghetti. And they're harvesting.
That's really crazy.
This is the spaghetti harvest. Happens every year.
The people and the people that actually bought that. That's really weird.
I can imagine an old English gentleman sitting back in his chair, pipe, you know, I hope there's good spaghetti next year.
Trucker Dingo sends in a... Trucker Dingo?
I wonder if that's a CB handle.
Trucker Dingo, did you take her baby? Nick, first I want to thank you for being a late-night friend for so many years and keeping all of us entertained while working the graveyard shift. I'm currently hauling lab supplies from Chicago to Minneapolis and back. It's my pleasure, man. My pleasure. And thank you for doing what you do. Raleigh James made me belly laugh. She's great. As you are and the rest of the late night staff at WGN Radio. Thanks again, man. I appreciate that, Trucker Dingo. And thanks for what you're doing, man. Very important. Okay, we got more outrageous pranks from history. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And if you want to jump in here, talk or text, we're open. Prince rules. I love Prince. I miss him. You know, I was just looking at my hands. They're like scaly.
Well, because you're doing the right thing. You're washing your hands.
My hands are like, they look ridiculous. They're like flaky and scaly because of all the hand washing and the hand sanitizer stuff that I use.
Are you moisturizing?
No. You know,
there's your problem.
Here's my thing. I have this weird thing about not liking any kind of lotion on my skin. I don't like the feel of it. I like I won't use lip balm, even if I have, and I get chapped lips in the winter. I often get chapped lips. I just don't like it. Lotion on my body or any of that kind of stuff. I'd rather have. I know I'm complaining. But I know it's my own fault because I should be moisturizing, obviously. But I will say this, I do have a hand sanitizer at home that has a moisturizer in it. So it's not like it's not clear. It's got a little like moisturizer in it, but it still kills the germs. It's still a hand sanitizer. But that's a little, you know, but again, I'm not crazy about it because it leaves like a residue.
Like an oiliness.
Yeah, I just don't like it. Just.
I know. I feel the same way. But you gotta power through. Your hands will thank you.
Yeah,
because you're gonna look like you're punching a wall.
Well,
for an hour.
Hold on. Let me just say this to you. I'm no stranger to this. I bartended for years. Okay, hands in and out of water the whole time. You know, washing glasses and all that stuff. And my hands were, you know, by the end of a shift, it was like, yeah, what? I was in my 20s, you know, or 30s, and I looked like I had 95-year-old hands.
You had Benjamin Button hands.
My hands were aging faster than me. No, he was backwards, right?
He was backwards.
That's right, because he started out as an old man, and then that's the only David Fincher movie I don't like.
I think it's the only David Fincher most people don't like. Huh?
Yeah. The cast is great. Mm. The concept is interesting.
Sure.
But I liked it when it was called Forrest Gump. I liked it better when it was called Forrest Gump, because it's the same movie.
Yeah.
Except he doesn't age in Forrest Gump. He doesn't, you know, there's no age differences or anything like that. But the same thing, it's the same thing. I'm like, what?
Well, look at it this way. If you are got the Benjamin Button hands, which is a real medical term.
Right.
When you're 95, you're going to have pristine 25-year-old hands. You could be a hand model.
Yeah. It's just that my hands are taken. I think a lot of people's hands are taking a beating at this time. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, wash those hands and use that hand sanitizer.
But you're doing the right thing. That's all that matters.
All right. So we're talking about April Fool's Day. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. How do you feel about April Fool's Day? We're talking about pranks. Do you remember any sort of famous pranks? April Fool's Day, once a time to pull a prank on both friends and enemies has turned into a day for corporations to try to fool customers with predictable internet hoaxes. Come April 1st, we can all count on an announcement about a fake new show, feature, or tinkered application. Here, we've compiled a truly original and elaborate pranks that will actually may surprise you. So these are some of the pranks from the past. And as we mentioned before, with the internet now, April Fool's Day is you can't get away from it. So this is a nice text. 816 just sends a text that says, it puts the lotion on its skin or it gets the hose again. I don't know if listeners know how much I hate that movie. It's Silence of the Lambs. I can't stand that movie. Okay, so here we go. One year, satirist Jonathan Swift decided to play a very elaborate All Fool's Day prank on John Partridge, a famous astrologer who sold bogus predictions to the public in almanacs. After Partridge predicted in his 1708 almanac that a fever would sweep London in early April, Swift published an almanac under a fake name predicting that March 29th at 11 p.m. Partridge would die of a raging fever. The public was intrigued, but Partridge was irate, and he published a rebuttal to Swift's almanac calling its author a fraud. Then, on the night of March 29th, Swift published an elegy underneath a fake name again, announcing that Partridge, a, quote, cobbler, starmonger, and quack, had died and admitted on his deathbed that he was a fraud. News of Partridge's death spread over the next couple of days, so that when Partridge walked down the street on April 1st, people stared at him in surprise and confusion. Partridge angrily published a pamphlet saying that he was alive, and Swift again publicly asserted that Partridge was dead and claimed Partridge's pamphlet was written by someone else. The whole escapade helped discredit Partridge, who eventually stopped publishing almanacs. Wow. I've never heard that before. Have you ever heard that story?
No.
Wow, man. Let's see. It's Officer Andy. Hi, Andy.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey.
So I got one from, kind of started off as a goof. There's a company that makes tactical clothing called 511. They make like, you know, kind of tack gear for cops and firemen type stuff.
Sure.
Years back, they launched a, they called it the tactical kilt, that they were going to come out with this tactical kilt. And it actually went over. And so now, every year, which like an hour and 40 minutes ago, they launch a tactical kilt limited edition on their website on April 1st at midnight. And I've got one. I bought one a few years ago, man.
No kidding.
And it's like, oh, yeah, it's a sweet kilt. It's got like thigh pockets, like cargo pockets and all that jazz.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's the best thing ever to do like yard work in and stuff, man. Nice breezy, you know, kilt stuff going on. But you got to, you know, that's one of the things is, you know, being a dude and wearing pants all the time. The kilt has a, there's a little bit of, you have to be a little bit discreet with how you stand and kneel and sit and lean over.
Or else,
you can run into problems,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's true. Now, Andy, are you on the job right now?
Yeah, I'm on a little break right now. So I heard you talking about this, and I had, I knew it was April 1st because the 511, I got an email earlier about the kilt coming out.
You got the kilt is out. There you go. I appreciate the story, and I appreciate you being out there for us, man. Stay safe.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, you guys stay safe. Take care.
Okay, take care. So you have Scottish relatives. Have you ever worn a kilt?
Yeah. I used to, I actually need to get a new one. Because I haven't worn one probably since
I was a kid.
You
should get the tactical kilt.
You know, I don't know if my tartan is camo.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I kind of want one just for everyday use.
Well, he says he mows the lawn
in it.
That's
what I'm saying.
And this is an officer of the law.
I mean, if the officer Andy says it's okay.
That's exactly right,
I think,
man.
I should absolutely have the tactical kilt, and I'm sure it's a hit with the ladies.
Yeah.
They're showing, I'm looking on the website right now. It's all buff dudes.
Oh, I'm sure.
And camo tactical kilts and bulletproof vests. I could be one of those men.
Did your dad wear a kilt?
Yeah. I mean, it's purely ceremonial. Like, you wear it to weddings, although he didn't wear it to his wedding, because I think by request he was asked not to. But you see, you know, there's the whole kit, though. You have to have your kilt, your sporran, which is the the purse on the front.
Right.
And you wear a dagger in your sock, and you've got, like, all this kind of stuff. But it's a lot of fun to dress in a kilt.
I think they look cool.
They are cool.
I think they're awesome, man.
You know?
Yeah.
You get a lot of more free movement if you catch my drift.
Right. Well, we had those pipers on.
Yeah.
A little while ago. They get to wear those kilts at weddings and and at funerals and stuff and at events and the parade.
It is a genuinely great cultural tradition, although I fully accept any and all ribbing I get for kilts. Like, and by the way, yes, people do wear underwear underneath their kilts.
Of course
kilts.
They do.
This isn't the 11th century, man. they wear
some people
underwear.
Wear Spanx under their under their kilts.
Gotta, you know, tighten everything up.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think they're cool, man. I think I like the tradition of it. I think they look cool. And I'm a fan. And Craigie Ferg sporting a kilt on the cover of his first book.
Yeah. And might I say, he looks dashing.
He does. Craig Ferguson. Man, it's impossible to mention that guy's name without me just missing him terribly in the late night world. So. All right. We are talking about April Fool's Day, and I got more elaborate pranks. And that last one was pretty unbelievable. Which was pretty unbelievable and pretty interesting. So we got more pranks, famous pranks. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. It's Nick DiGilio on WGN.
A candy-colored clown they call the Sandman tiptoes to my room every night, just to sprinkle stardust and to whisper, go to sleep, everything is all right. I close my eyes, then I drift away.
I mean, come on. You go right to that. You can't hear this song without thinking of that scene in Blue Velvet. Dennis Hopper, my favorite part, is because Brad Dourif is like standing on the couch, like kind of dancing with a woman. And when they're leaving, because of course, you know, Dean Stockwell's performance of the song brings Dennis Hopper to tears. You want to come with Raymond? You go with Raymond. That's my favorite part of the whole scene. Raymond, of course, played by Brad Dourif. You know, Brad Dourif plays a lot of weirdos. He's one of the coolest and nicest guys I've ever met. The first time I met Brad Dourif, I just came up to him and I said, hey, listen, your performance in Exorcist 3 is not only one of the greatest horror performances of all time, but one of the best performances I've ever seen in movie history. He's unbelievable in Exorcist 3. You've seen Exorcist 3, right?
Oh, a million times.
I love that movie. By the way, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Here till 4 a.m., keeping you company, keeping you informed, and keeping you entertained. So 312-981-7200. And remember, we're here. WGN is here 24-7. 24-7. There you go. So we've got some texts coming in. It's April Fool's Day, so we're talking about some pranks, some of which are very elaborate, some of these popular pranks from the past. 641 says, I have so much hand sanitizer and soap the past few weeks that when I pee, it cleans the toilet. Uh, 847, I think it was in the 80s, Taco Bell took out a full page picture of the Liberty Bell and said it was now that they own it. Yeah, no, that was more recent than the 80s. Taco Bell, because people went nuts when they, like, Taco Bell put out an ad on April Fool's Day saying that they bought the Liberty Bell. I can't remember what. Can we look that up and find out what year that was? People were not happy.
It was 1996.
96, okay.
So not super recent, but a little bit more recent than the 80s.
Yeah. I remember it, too. I totally remember. 715 says, I think Swift wrote a modest proposal for the alleviation of the potato famine in Ireland, which is an essay on eating the young of overpopulated Ireland.
Yeah, classic satire.
Yeah, Jonathan Swift, man.
Apparently, to the Liberty Bell hoax, yeah. Secretary Mike McCurry, responded that the federal government was also selling the Lincoln Memorial to the Ford Motor Company and renaming it the Lincoln Mercury Memorial. Yeah.
Wow, government agencies and the BBC having a sense of humor.
Who would have thought?
What's going on?
I know.
What is happening? All right, how about this? In January of 1749, London newspapers advertised that in an upcoming show, a man would squeeze his entire body into a wine bottle and then sing while inside of it. The ad promised that, quote, during his stay in the bottle, any person may handle it and see plainly that it does not exceed a common tavern bottle, unquote. The ad promised the show would feature other tricks as well, including communicating with the dead. Legend has it that the ad was the result of a bet between the Duke of Portland and the Earl of Chesterfield. Reportedly, the Duke bet that he could advertise something impossible and still find fools enough in London to fill the playhouse and pay handsomely for the privilege of being there. And apparently he was right. The night of the show, every seat in the house was filled, but no performer ever showed up. Realized that they had been duped, the audience's riot. Come on, man. Okay, how about this? Decades before the Bond villain Goldfinger plotted to nuke all of the United States gold at Fort Knox, a prankster dreamed up another heist that was just as ridiculous. On April 1st, 1905, a German newspaper called the Berliner Tageblatt announced that thieves had dug a tunnel underneath the U.S. Federal Treasury in Washington, D.C. and stolen America's silver and gold. This was before the U.S. built the depository in Fort Knox. The Berliner said that the heist was organized by American robber barons whose burglars dug the tunnel over 3 years and made away with over $268 million, and that U.S. authorities were trying to hunt down the thieves while publicly covering up the fact that the country had been robbed. The story spread quickly through European newspapers before people realized that it was an April Fool's prank. Played by Louis Viereck, a New York correspondent for the Berliner Tageblatt, who published the joke article under a fake name. So people thought all the stuff was stolen from Fort. Well, it wasn't Fort Knox at that time, because there was no. Maybe that's why they built Fort Knox.
They're like, oh, someone's got some ideas.
Because of this story.
I have to say this. Some people are still trying to play April Fool's pranks on social media right now, or at least mine, and not doing very well. My uncle Ron in the UK has posted about how his pet rabbit Jasper has gone missing. Not only does everybody know he does not have a pet rabbit named Jasper Carrot, but he posted
Jasper Carrot.
Yeah. The photo he used has a Shutterstock watermark on it. He's like, here's a picture of our beloved Jasper Carrot. Come on.
That's pretty funny.
Try harder next time, Ron.
That's pretty funny.
Buddy.
Jasper Carrot. That's a good name, though, for a rabbit. And speaking of rabbit. First of the month. Jasper Carrot. Actually, that's the guy who used to do traffic on my show. Yeah, man, Jasper Carrot! All right, more pranks here for April Fool's Day. Sometimes the line between what's a prank and what's not isn't always clear-cut. If an unlikely candidate runs for public office as kind of a protest prank, but ends up winning, is it still a prank? Here's one example. In 1959, students in Brazil who were tired of the city's overflowing sewers and inflated prices launched a campaign to elect a rhinoceros to the city council and won. The rhino's name was Carcareco, which is Portuguese for rubbish. And she was already a popular figure in the city when students launched her campaign. The four-year-old had moved to the city from Rio de Janeiro when the zoo opened and was scheduled to return to Rio soon. When the students looked at the 540 candidates vying for the 45 city council seats and feared that none of them would address the city's problems, they decided to make a point by asking people to vote for the popular rhino instead. Carcareco won a city council seat by a whopping 100,000 votes, far more than any other candidate. The closest runner-up got about 1,000 votes. 10,000 votes, sorry. But of course, she didn't end up serving on the city council because the election board disqualified her, but she remains one of the most famous protest votes in Brazilian history. They actually voted for... They got a rhino a city council seat. We talked about the spaghetti harvest already. Caltech has a long history of pranking other schools. One of its most famous pranks happened during the 1961 Rose Bowl football game in Pasadena, where Caltech is located. The game was between the University of Washington's Huskies and the University of Minnesota's Golden Gophers. During the game, Washington cheerleaders handed out colored cards to the Huskies side and told them if they held the cards up at halftime, the cards would spell Huskies. But when halftime came and the fans held the cards up, it ended up spelling Caltech. What's so weird and unexpected, Caltech wasn't even playing in the game, that the band on the field stopped mid-song. It later came out that 14 Caltech students had orchestrated the prank by breaking into the cheerleaders' hotel rooms and switching their instruction sheets for the card stunt. That's genius.
You got to give them to him for being so elaborate.
Absolutely.
You got to give it
that's
to him.
There's a lot of dedication right there. And I love the fact that they weren't even playing in the game. Caltech wasn't even playing in the game. That's funny. Okay. We're going to talk more pranks. Do you remember any sort of elaborate pranks? It's April Fool's Day. And we'll get into that. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we'll get more into it after this. Gold. Great song. Like I said, I identified with that song, you know, because I was born on a summer day. It wasn't 1951. It was 1965, but I was born on a summer day, and I'm an only child. I used to love that song. I still do. Hi. It's Nick DiGilio here, keeping you company, keeping you informed, and sticking with us, man. You know, during this crisis, we got to stay strong. We got to help each other, and that's what we're here for on WGN. 24/7. We're not going anywhere. We're going to keep you company and help you through this, and we're all going to get through this together. 312-981-7200. It is April Fool's Day, so we're talking about pranks. Tom, we've talked about Ashton Kutcher's They're Punked.
Yeah.
I used to love that show. I watched it all the time. Remember when they tried to punk him and failed miserably?
Yeah.
They tried to punk Ashton Kutcher. He's like, you can't do that.
You can't BS the BSer.
That's right. I still think my favorite, I mean, the Timberlake one is great. The Justin Timberlake one is great. But the Zach Braff one, where he's going to kill this kid for spray painting his car, even though it wasn't his car. He was, like, literally going to kill this kid.
That's the only thing that makes me uncomfortable about that show. Like, I get the I'm more partial to something like Jackass, which are kind of like, it's kind of like pranks, but more just stunts. But when you see one, these people like fly off the handle, it's a little uncomfortable. Well, I could never do that.
The thing is, and I'm not a big guy on, like, I've said this before, I'm not a big prank guy, but because it's rich and famous people, I feel a little more. feel a little more okay about it.
Yeah, they got millions of dollars. They can handle it.
You know?
But it's like Zach Braff was,
he was
angry.
Oh my God, was he mad. But, so there's that. But no, I mean, look, Jackass is one of the greatest things that's ever been invented by humans. I have the entire season. I have all 3.5 movies.
Half?
Yeah, they did like a 2.5. They did a Jackass 2.5.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Jackass is just, the first time I saw it, I was just like on the floor laughing. And, I've got to know Tom Green, and, the first time I ever interviewed Tom Green, I'm like, did the guys from Jackass cut you a check? Because you kind of started this whole thing, man.
Whenever I think about Tom Green, I think of when he got his dad's car repainted.
Oh,
like,
man.
Big, like, busty woman on it.
No, the lesbians on the hood of the car.
Yeah.
Oh, the stuff that he did to his parents was unbelievable.
It's just ridiculous.
The stuff that he did to his parents was unbelievable. And then that went on, took the mantle on that, inherited that. Bam.
Yeah.
What he would do to his parents? What he'd do to Phil?
Phil and April. Don't feed Phil.
Don't feed.
What was his Uncle Vito?
Yeah.
Don Vito.
Mm. But you remember when in the movie, it's the first Jackass movie, it's the first one, where he puts an alligator in the kitchen in the house because he wants to get April to swear because she never swore, and it worked. I feel like beating the crap out of my dad all day long. And he's sitting on the toilet and he comes running in. It's so base and so stupid. Jackass is it's unapologetically stupid. You know? So my favorite Jackass died.
Ryan Dunn,
Ryan Dunn. He was my favorite, but he's an idiot. He was an idiot because he got drunk and he went out and he was driving. He was loaded when he crashed his car. So just stupid, but man, he was so funny. Okay, more pranks here. 815 says, this is a text, 312-981-7200. Back in the mid-80s, a Rockford radio station broadcast a story that the Goodyear blimp was at the Rockford airport. This caused all sorts of people to drive out to the airport searching the skies for a blimp that wasn't there. Would people be that excited to see a blimp?
Hell, I would. It's not just a blimp. It's the Goodyear blimp.
I've seen the Goodyear blimp. I've seen it in person.
I haven't. Yeah. How many Americans out there have never gotten to see the Goodyear blimp up close and personal? That's like running into the Wienermobile.
That's special.
That's super special. Get your little wiener whistle.
Yep. 715. They were at my dad's Jewel not too long ago.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the Wienermobile was at my dad's Jewel not too long ago. Irving and Narragansett, man. You know where it is.
I know where it is. I just didn't know the Wienermobile was there, man.
Yeah, it was a while ago. It was like some months ago, but it was there.
Still. I got to get your dad to have my phone number so he can be on Wiener Watch.
Wiener Watch? Yeah, that'll be on the show Friday morning. I hope you realize that.
Yeah.
715 says, I went to my boss holding my crotch, telling the boss that I'd hurt my nuts. He turned pale, thinking that I was hurt. Then I pulled a small bag of peanuts from my pocket. He looked at the nuts, said that they looked all right, and left the office. Is that an April Fool's joke? Does that really qualify as an April Fool's joke?
I don't know. I just think it's damn funny.
It is funny.
It's damn funny.
Okay. Stranger Than Naked wasn't the only prank journalist played in 1969, that year, Rolling Stone music critic Grail Marcus, oh, God, of course, published a piece spoofing a trend in of big-name rock stars forming supergroups. One of the most popular supergroups in the 60s was Cream. Its guitarist, Eric Clapton, was already famous for playing with the Yardbirds, while drummer Ginger Baker and bassist Jack Bruce were already known for playing in the Graham Bond organization. Marcus penned a gushing review to a non-existent bootleg album by Masked Marauders, a secret supergroup that he said was made up of Bob Dylan, Mick Jagger, John Lennon, Paul McCartney, and George Harrison. The fake review garnered real interest in the album, and Marcus ended up writing and recording the songs he made up himself, and then Warner Brothers bought the songs and released the album. This is great.
What was the name of the band? The Marauders?
The Masked Marauders. It was just an attempt to say, this is stupid, let's make it even stupider, Marcus told MSNBC years later. But it was also a little prophetic. Two decades after the Masked Marauders review, Bob Dylan, George Harrison actually did join a supergroup with Tom Petty called the Traveling Wilburys. Grill Marcus, of course.
I've got a little bit of the...
Put him and Lester Bangs in a room together and watch what watch what happens. And they were in a room together very often.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, what do you got?
A little bit of the Masked Marauders.
Oh, this is the Masked Marauders? Yeah. So this is Grell Marcus's fake band.
Yeah, Duke of Earl.
Is this supposed to be? This supposed to be Dylan? And you are my girl, and nothing can hurt you. Is that Grell Marcus doing that?
I can only assume.
That's supposed to be Bob Dylan. Why would they record Duke of Earl? How would anybody buy that?
Oh, that's funny.
Well, he just released like a 20-minute. Song the other day about the Kennedy assassination, so anything's possible.
What?
Bob Dylan.
Oh, Bob Dylan,
yeah,
right.
Bob Dylan, not Grell Marcus.
I was going to say, what? All right, this is it. This is the last prank in the article here. Virgin Airlines pivots to UFOs. Richard Branson, the billionaire founder of the Virgin Group, has a well-documented love of April Fool's Day, but in 1989, his actual prank came a day early on March 31st. That evening, residents outside of London spotted a flying saucer that appeared to land in a nearby field in Surrey. Police officers went to the field to investigate the supposed UFO and were probably surprised when they actually found one. As they approached the flying saucer, a door opened and a silver-clad figure walked out. The cops promptly ran away. Little did they know, Branson was hiding in the UFO behind his silver-clad companion, whose name was Don Cameron. The two of them had taken off in the flying saucer, which was actually a hot air balloon, and planned to land in Hyde Park on April 1st as a prank. However, changing winds forced them to land a little earlier in Surrey. I love that the cops just booked. I see an alien. I'm getting the hell out of here.
I mean, what are they going to do? What are you going to do?
773 said, left a pink while you were out message for a broker in our office to call Mrs. Fish, and I gave him the shed phone number. See, get it? Call Mrs. Fish.
I like that one.
But he spelled it F-I-S-C-H to make it a little more. Call Mrs. Fish. He called the shed phone number with Wellington the Penguin answer. Have you seen the newest footage of Wellington the Penguin walking around shed?
Of course.
With the beluga whales? He goes up and checks out the beluga
whales. Sure, he's probably like, good Lord.
Yeah.
Look at these things.
I could watch those penguins walk around the shed aquarium all day. You know? We need to smile and to find some lightness in the darkness that's happening right now. And penguins walking around the shed aquarium certainly fits that bill, I think. I love his name is Welling. What were the other ones? Alex? The other ones had like regular, like kind of normal human names. But I like that the leader of the pack of the Penguins of Shedd Aquarium is Wellington.
Well, everybody's up on Wellington. It's all about Wellington.
Wellington rules.
Well, because plus he's a rock hopper, so he's got like the really fun frills on the side of his head, and you know, he's very noticeable.
Yeah, he's also noticeable because there's nobody else there except except penguins walking around.
Well, and then of course you had the Field Museum, the guy in the T-Rex costume, Sue,
the guy in the T-Rex costume running around Field Museum. And the music box had a guy in a penguin costume walking through the music box theater.
Yeah.
We got to lighten the load a little bit, so.
Maybe we could get John Williams in like a tiger outfit running around the studio. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Except this place isn't empty. You know what I mean? Like, we're open for business.
That's true.
So, those other places are completely closed, so. Okay. Hey, you know what's coming up? We got origins of some commonly used phrases. You ever wonder where some idioms come from? We love talking about language on the show, and so we're going to talk a little bit about that. 312-981-7200 is the number if you would like to join us. 312-981-7200. Okay. Hey, when we come back, comedy. We love to play Carson highlights on the show. The Johnny Carson Show you can watch every night on Antenna TV, and it's just great. Classic stuff. And we're going to come back and hear a little bit from Buddy Hackett, who was always great on The Tonight Show. So that is up next.
For so long, you and me been finding each other for so long. And the feeling that I feel for you is more than stronger. Take it from me.
There was a period of time in the late 70s when your last name was Gibb, you were dominating the charts. Between him and the Bee Gees, the other Gibb brothers, they sold a lot of records, man. Lots of records. Hi, Nick DiGilio. And after 2:30, every morning we like to play some comedy. And from the Johnny Carson Show, in particular, the Johnny Carson Show, you can hear on Antenna TV every night on WGN, on Antenna TV. And we like to play back classic comedy bits from the Johnny Carson Show. We'll play back some stand-up. We'll play back some bits. We'll have to do another Karnak soon. We did one Karnak. We got to do another one. They're so great. But right now we got Buddy Hackett. Buddy Hackett appeared on the show many, many times. Very funny guy. And here he is talking a little bit about sumo wrestling.
Anyway, when I just talk nice to the people and all. So now say I've set up this thing. Now I tell about when I went with Jack Parr to Japan. And it's just like we're sitting here. He says, you ever been to Tokyo? You ever been to Tokyo? And I said, no. He says, Hugh Downs and I were there last year. And he did this. Whenever he thought he's doing something naughty, he would rock. He said, we were there last year. We went naked in the bath. We went naked in the bath. He said, men and women go naked in the bath in Japan. Yes, they do. They really do. So I said, well, we used to do it in Brooklyn without water. So now he says, well, you Downs and I, we wouldn't go naked in the bath. We wore our jockey shorts. So I said, well, if I go there, I'll go naked in the bath. He said, you want to go? We're going to go. We're going to go. I said, okay, I'll go. Now, it's a couple months pass, and we go to Tokyo. And we're going to the bath, and it's up on the fifth floor. And we're at the elevator going to the fifth floor. Now, I forgot that I sat with him, so I'm going to go naked. What's the difference to me? I want to get the laugh for the moment. He says, you're not going to get naked in the bath. I said, what? He said, you said you wouldn't get naked in the bath. Promise you won't get naked in the bath. Say you won't get naked in the bath. I said, okay, I won't get naked in the bath. I got naked in the elevator. I mean, what do I care? I don't know anybody in Japan. I figure you get in the elevator, you go up to the fifth floor, the door opens, you jump in the water, right? I'm naked, he's crying. The door opened, I stepped out. I'm in the lobby, it didn't go up. And there's a couple hundred Japanese go, hot dog. I said, you don't have to bow. If you can't see from where you are, forget about it. And they thought I was a Buddha. And they put incense in my navel and lit it. And I said, oh. And then we went to Hakone. Hakone is 85 miles from Tokyo. And that's where They go up there, they play golf up there, and they have the sumo school. And he's going to film the sumo wrestlers. You know, they're, what, 7 feet tall?
Huge.
600 pounds? Huge. Monsters. Walking billboards. Now, he says to me, you want to have some fun? I says, yeah. He says, look, you wrestle with a sumo, and I'll film it. I said, let's hear the part about the fun. I mean, a guy weighs 600 pounds, I weigh 220. He said, well, I got the camera. I said, why don't I hold the camera? And you stick feathers in your belt and fly up over the volcano and set them on fire. Say, hi, I'm a fire duck, and I'll hold the camera. So he says, are you afraid? I said, no, I was afraid. I'm going to tell him I'm afraid. So they dress me in a sumo outfit, which is a little silk cloth, covers you here, and a silk band around the waist. Then a thick cord, hard fibrous rope between your legs and up in the back and the right up. And when they tighten that rope, you fight anybody. I mean, first, you tell a guy, hey, don't do that. Hey, don't, hey, tighten it up, I'll rip his nose off. Then I see that the other guy, they dressing him, and he go, it's almost written in. I tell myself, don't panic, Hack. You're small, but you're fast. Get out there quick, grab his rope and loosen it, and you got him. And I ran out quick, and I grabbed his rope. And he said, whoa. And he picked me up and he threw me out of the ring. But first he kissed me goodbye. Oh. And he said, sayonara.
Sayonara.
Now, for you people who haven't seen me in Las Vegas, I don't do that routine anymore because it's not funny enough.
Ah. Oh, you're yeah. Crazy. Hey, I can't tell you. Seriously. I know you, you're self-conscious when I pay you a compliment, but thanks for coming in on Thanksgiving. I know you have to leave early to go to Harold Robbins for Thanksgiving dinner.
Harold and Grace.
You, yeah.
Yeah, I hope they're all naked over there.
Well, you just tighten up the rope a little bit for you. Thanks for coming.
I had such a good time.
You were sensational.
Listen, folks, I'm glad you digested in the middle and you're all terrific. God bless you.
Thank you.
Have a good year.
Aw. Thanksgiving, Buddy Hackett. He was a funny man, Buddy Hackett. When I was a kid, I loved him. I still do, but I loved him. And one of the main reasons I loved him so much was because he was in Love Bug. He was in Herbie the Love Bug, which was a movie that I completely adored. I had the album version of it.
The album version?
Yeah, they had Disney released an album of the Love Bug, and it had music on it and clips from the movie and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I had that. I listened to it all the time. I loved Herbie the Love Bug. I loved all those Herbie movies. I even liked the one with Lindsay Lohan.
Fully Loaded?
Fully Loaded.
Yeah, I didn't. I remember not finishing that one.
Oh, I liked it.
I think it came out. When did that come out?
When Lindsay Lohan was still good.
What, 2004?
That's about right. I'm trying to remember when Mean Girls came out.
2005.
Yeah, because Mean Girls was 2004.
Yeah, so I was about in the fifth grade. I remember I walked out of the movie. I was like a child. Where was I going to go?
Yeah.
You know? I just walked out.
Well, I was an adult. I was an adult man, and I enjoyed it.
Everybody around me was like, what the hell is this guy?
That was back when I was a massive fan of Lindsay Lohan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, after Mean Girls, I was like, man, this girl, she's going to be huge. And she was, for all the wrong reasons. I predicted Oscars in her future.
I don't think you were alone in that.
Oh, I don't think so either. She was great. There was that stretch where she did three or four movies in a row where it was like, wow, this is the it girl. She is the it girl. There's no question about it. And Herbie Fully Loaded was one of them.
Mm.
You know, they had to, if I remember correctly, they had to go in and digitally get rid of her cleavage. But by that point, she had developed. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
And so they didn't want the movie to be, you know, too sexy because it was a kid's movie.
Well, what's sexier than Herbie the Love Bug?
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan.
Apparently.
So, by the way, you told me what we're going to be playing for the Carson comedy tomorrow. I cannot wait. Art Fern.
And this is a particularly great Art Fern.
It's, yeah. Movie time. It's a
Art Fern's
tea time movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this one's from 1973.
1973. So that would be, what's her name? Would be the tea time movie girl, Carol. Why am I blanking on her name?
Carol Wayne.
Yeah. Carol Wayne was something, man. She was something. So anyway, fork in the road, man. Look for the fork in the road.
What was the name of the Wonder Buffalo?
Oh, I don't remember.
It's something. The Wonder Buffalo is in at least one of the movies.
Go to Slauson. Go take the Slauson cut off. Get out of your car. Cut off your Slauson. All right. 312-981-7200. If you're wondering where certain phrases came from, what are the origins of some of these idioms? We love to talk about language and phrases and stuff like that on the show. And we'd love to talk to you about that. 312-981-7200. You ever wonder where certain phrases came from? How they got their meaning and origin? Give us a call. 312-981-7200.
Guess you wonder where I've been. I searched to find the love within. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let go.
What You Won't Do for Love by Bobby Caldwell is what we're hearing here. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Text lines are open, phone lines are open, and we're going to talk about the origins of some commonly used phrases and some idioms. Do you know some of those, where they're from, the stories behind it? Call us or text us right now, 312-981-7200. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN. All right, we have some of these famous phrases. Fly off the handle. You ever use that one?
Oh, yeah.
Fly off the handle? I don't know. I think everybody has used that at some point. Hey, man, don't fly off the handle. In the days before mass merchandising, poorly fashioned axe heads would fly off when they were in use. My God. The result was dangerous, hence why the phrase is used to describe risky behavior with unpredictable results. Wow. So that's where it comes from? Axe heads flying around? Flying around? That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I wonder, it makes you wonder where a lot of the idioms for getting angry, for losing it,
yeah,
come from. Like flip your lid.
By the way, I don't have all of these. I think we're short a page. How about stealing someone's thunder? Steal someone's thunder. In the early 1700s, English dramatist John Dennis invented a device that imitated the sound of thunder for a play he was working on. The play flopped. Soon after, Dennis noted that another play in the same theater was using his sound effect device. He angrily exclaimed, "That is my thunder, by God. The villains will play my thunder, but not my play." The story got around London, and the idiom was born. Wow. That's a pretty cool story. That's a pretty cool story. If you know any of these origin stories about some of these phrases, Phone lines and text lines are open at 312-981-7200. So, chew the fat. This is a good one. Chew the fat. Originally a sailor's term, this phrase refers to the days before refrigeration when ships carried food that wouldn't spoil. One of them was salted pork skin, which consisted largely of fat. Sailors would only eat it if all other food was gone. And they often complained, as they did. This idle chatter became known as chewing the fat. Okay. White elephant. Legend has it, the king of Siam, which is now Thailand, used to give actual white elephants to people they wanted to punish. Yes, the elephants were valuable and respected, but they also meant that they were expensive to take care of. So the kings hoped the present would drive the recipient into financial ruin. Now, of course, a white elephant exchange is meant for useless, probably cheaper gifts. That's weird. That's a weird story. How about by and large? Sailors were the first to refer to things by and large. The first part of the phrase refers to the nautical term full and by, meaning a boat was traveling into the wind. On the other hand, large means the wind is coming from behind. By and large, then, would mean the wind is coming from any direction, giving rise to the current meaning of in general. Nautical. How about close but no cigar? Close but no cigar. Carnival games nowadays give out stuffed animals as prizes, but in the late 19th century, the games were targeted to adults, not kids. Instead of getting a giant teddy bear, winners might get a cigar. If they almost won but didn't earn that prize, they'd be close but no cigar. By the 1930s, the phrase extended beyond fairgrounds to everyday close shots. So there it is. All right. Once in a blue moon. A blue moon is a real astronomical phenomenon referring to the second full moon in the same month. It's a rare occurrence. Just once every 2.7 years it happens, which is how the phrase came to be. Usually a blue moon just looks gray or white like any other full moon, or even on rarer occasions, the moon actually does seem to change color. During volcanic eruptions or forest fires, the oils and smoke can make the moon appear blue, according to NASA. So there's a lot of time between blue moons. We got some texts coming in here. 847 says, "For whom the bell tolls" was one of those sayings that when I found out what it meant, I wish I'd never known. What is the what's the origin of for whom the bell tolls besides a jam by Metallica?
Well, you've got the Ernest Hemingway book.
Yeah,
but that I believe is in reference to a poem. That the couplet is "For whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee."
Oh, right. Okay. 715 says, "I'm pretty sure all idioms come from Shakespeare." I wouldn't be. I know that a lot of phrases come from Shakespeare that we use, you know, kind of regularly, can be traced back to Billy Shakes, as his friends like to call him.
I don't know, Dad. Is that Bill Shakespeare over
is that
there?
Bill Shakespeare. Well, actually, we like to encourage his writing. I wish you'd just shut your big yapper. Chris Farley, man. Under the weather. Originally, sailors used the phrase "under the weather bow," referring to the side of the ship that would get the brunt of wind during storms. To avoid getting seasick, when waves got rough, they'd bunker down into their cabins, literally under that bad weather to let the storm pass. Okay. That's pretty interesting. Here is John on WGN. Hi, John.
Good morning, Nick. Got one for you. Knucklehead.
Knucklehead. Okay. Where'd that come from?
Well, my dad made a fist. He said, if you don't shut up, I don't want to show where it comes from.
Oh, that's what he would do. I'll show you where it comes from. Okay. All right, John. Thanks. All right. Take care. How about to give the cold shoulder? Surprisingly, this doesn't refer to cloudy or coldly turning your back on someone. Etymologists think the phrase originated from medieval etiquette. After a feast, hosts in England would subtly signal that the meal was over and it was time for guests to leave by serving a cold slice of pork, mutton, or beef. Shoulder. So it would be, that would be literally be a cold shoulder that they would serve, and that would mean that's the end of it. Okay. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about phrases and their origins. And we'd love to hear more from you at 312-981-7200. And at 3:30, we'll play a round of Know Your Onion. It is Wednesday morning, and so that's when we play Know Your Onion. And that's when Tom is your host. And he will read, we'll have two contestants, each one plays one round, and he will read you a news headline, and you have to decide whether it is real or it is from The Onion. And if you've got any explanations for where some of these phrases come from, we would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. So how about the seven-year itch? Before the phrase became associated with Marilyn Monroe's iconic skirt, the seven-year itch felt much worse than a playful subway breeze. The term originally referred to scabies, an itchy infection caused by mites burrowing underneath a person's skin. Its seven-year moniker refers to how long the bugs could linger. Oh, God. Jeez. Okay. All right, we've got some more of these texts coming in and about phrases and terms and where they come from. And we got more of those, and we want to hear from you. Phone lines, text lines are open at 312-981-7200. News is coming up. Al Stewart. You're the cat, man. Good song. Our old friends, the Empty Pockets, are his band currently. Well, they're on hiatus right now, but 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to join us. It's Nick DiGilio here till 4, and then we'll head over to Bradley Place and get some early morning news from the TV side of WGN. And then the great Bob Surratt has you at 5 for your morning drive. And again, WGN AM 720 here 24/7. We're not going anywhere. We're here to inform you, to keep you entertained, and to be with you during this tough time. And we're going to get through this, but we're going to get through it together. We're here for this for the entire time. 312-981-7200. I'm here till 4. So we've been talking about the origins of certain phrases and idioms and things like that. 312-981-7200 if you know any of these. We got a bunch of texts coming in, people talking about some of their favorite phrases and where they kind of came from. And here is Trucker Rich. Hi, Rich.
Hey, evening, Nick.
Hi.
Yeah, the saying, the whole nine yards, comes out of World War II because the ammunition belts for the machine guns were 27 feet long.
Right.
And I thought of another one. I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard it somewhere that back in the early days of horse racing, they used to have like a companion goat for some of the horses, mm-hmm. like to calm them down. And if they were going to fix the race, somebody would steal that goat of the skittish horse. And they'd say, oh, that's how they got, you know, the saying, got your goat came from. Oh. I don't know if that's true or not.
So that's maybe where "Got Your Goat" came from. Well, that sounds like as good an origin story as any.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought, too, when I heard it. But, you know, like I say, there's no way to confirm it. But
yeah. Okay. All right, cool.
It's just one of them things.
Okay. All right, Rich, thanks.
Yep. Take. Bye.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Got some texts coming in with some people attempting to explain where the origins of certain phrases and words come from. Loose cannon. This is from the 312 area code, sends in a text. Loose cannon. A way of saying that a person is unpredictable. They are off doing their own thing without regards to others. Believed it has its origin from the mayhem caused on ships when a cannon breaks free from its mooring during a storm or in a battle. Okay. I bought that for a dollar. 214 says the real McCoy was referring to an engine lubricator in the 1800s. To avoid inferior copies, people would ask for the real McCoy, referring to the inventor, Elijah McCoy. Ooh. Mm. 807 says, hi, Nick. How about Saved by the Bell? You mean with Screech? Long ago, they would put a string in a coffin and attached a bell, so if the person wasn't dead, when they put it in the ground, he could ring the bell. That's true. That's absolutely true. They did. They would put a string with a bell inside a coffin. And, like, you wake up, you know, like Bill Pullman did in Serpent in the Rainbow, which is still one of the most traumatic things I've ever, because I have a phobia thing. And that Kill Bill, oh, man.
Yeah, I have a great fear of being buried alive.
Oh. But I can't be on my back. Like, I can't, like, if I could never wrestle because I couldn't be pinned. Like, I would go nuts. I can't. Like, I couldn't work on a car. I could not go underneath a car and work on it. I couldn't even go underneath my coffee table. Like, if I laid on my back underneath the coffee table, I would freak out.
Well, I could do that.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
Well, at least you know from watching Kill Bill that you could one-inch punch your way out.
Yeah, it's true.
But actually, they tell you if you're ever buried alive, what you got to do is go sideways. Punch outward. Because if you try to punch up, that's usually where the wood is, like, super thick. And also, even if you manage to get through, dirt comes in. And you're
The whole that whole movie was it called Buried?
Yeah, Buried with Ryan Reynolds. Yeah,
I watched it. It wasn't pleasant. It's a good movie. I watched it, but I was freaked out the entire time. I remember during the screening of Serpent in the Rainbow, Roy was sitting next to me. Roy Leonard was sitting next to me, and I started to hyperventilate during that scene because they put some voodoo dust on him, which stopped his vitals. But he wasn't dead. He could feel everything and see everything. And then the voodoo dust wore off while he was in the coffin. And then he could start breathing and started pounding on the coffin and screaming. And Roy was like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, you should probably step outside. I'm like, no, this is awesome. No.
This popcorn's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I love that movie. A Serpent in the Rainbow is one of my favorite Craven movies. I love that movie. How about this? 312 says the expression, it's cold enough to freeze the balls off a brass monkey, comes from the practice of putting iron cannonballs on a dimpled brass plate on the deck of a warship. When very cold, the brass contracted sufficiently to cause the iron balls to fall out. It's funny how many of these are nautical or military kind or war related. Where these comes from, you know? Regarding cold shoulder, your dad's joke about 2 years ago was, what did the cannibal give her husband when he came home late for dinner? The cold shoulder. Great show, as always, from Alfredo. This is from Nick, 816 area code, says, in the early days of ocean travel, and long before air conditioning, a wealthy traveler did not want a room that received the hot afternoon sun. On trips to England, to India, or South Africa, you paid extra to be on the port side on the way out and were moved on the starboard side on the return trip. Port out, starboard home, which is posh. So that spells posh. That's how one of the Spice Girls got their name.
Posh Spice.
Rich from Gary, Indiana says, son of a gun, referred to as a child born at sea when the mother would go topside for privacy and give birth between the cannons. It was meant to say the person was a real sailor. Yeah, the nautical stuff is fascinating to me. All these origins for that. All right, we got a few more here. And if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. And we'll talk a little bit more about this. And then at 3:30, after 3:30, we'll get two people to call in. We'll have our contestants for Know Your Onion on this Wednesday morning. Nick DiGilio on WGN.
You got that hold over me. Long as I got your love, you know that I'll never leave. When I wanted you to share my life, I had no doubt in my mind. And it's been you, woman, right down the line. I know how much I lean on you. Only you can see.
Yeah, Jerry Rafferty. That's Jerry Rafferty, right? Yeah. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Coming up at 3:30, we got to Know Your Onion. That's where Tom is your host, and he will read you a news headline, and you have to figure out whether it is real or from the satirical newspaper The Onion. And if you get the majority of them correct, you win. And we play two rounds of it with one contestant each. We were talking about phrases and where they came from and idioms that we use all the time and what are their origins. Some of them have some pretty neat stories where they're coming from. And if you know any of these stories or have heard about them, our phone lines and text lines are open at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here's Barry on WGN. Hi, Barry.
Hi. In England, Scotland, Ireland, all the hill country, back in the old days, the roofs were, they had leaves on them, and they were like built into mountains. And when it rained heavy, the dogs and the cats that were out slid off. That's why they say it's raining cats and dogs.
Oh, there it is. That's where it comes from. It's raining cats and dogs. All right. Thanks, Barry.
My pleasure. Right.
Yeah. So that's where that comes from. How about gadzooks? Who says gadzooks?
Old-timey reporters.
Zounds, egad, cripes. These silly exclamations called minced oaths. They're called minced oaths. Were originally Bible-friendly alternatives to swearing. The idea was that if you shouted gadzooks instead of God's hooks, which was a reference to the nails from the crucifixion, you could stub your toe without running afoul of the third commandment. Other minced oaths include gosh instead of God and jeepers instead of Jesus. Christians have been shouting gadzooks since the 1690s. So that's just to avoid taking the Lord's name in vain or swearing.
Well, peas and rice.
Yeah. What do we have someone said... yesterday, a caller called and said that their dad said something.
It was cripes.
Cripes on a Friday? Cripes on...
Yeah.
Cripes on a Friday?
Something like that.
It's that specific day. Okay. Blood is thicker than water. You probably think this means you should always put family ahead of friends. In fact, it originally may have meant the opposite. The full maxim is, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. With covenant referring to friendship. In other words, it's your friends, your blood brothers, if you will, who were there with you through thick and thin. That's interesting. Till the cows come home. This is the last one I got here. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Till the cows come home. Clearly, this has to do with cattle curfews, right? It sort of does. Cows were often milked in their barns at night, making that task one of the last on the farmer's to-do list. but let's hope he wouldn't wait forever to do the job, the way the phrase implies. The expression has been around since at least the late 1500s and will likely continue until, well, you know, till the cows come home. So. It's always a wonderful, colorful ways of speaking. A lot of people have a very interesting selection of vocabulary. Did you? Now, you said your dad said a lot of... he would say a lot of kind of phrases.
Odd. Yeah.
What were some of his? You know, we've heard a few of them. What were some of his?
Well, they were known as hushisms because I would often repeat them in front of my friends. My dad would say them, and then I'd pick them up, and then I would repeat them in front of my friends, and they thought they were ridiculous. They loved them, but they thought they were insane.
Mm-hmm.
Such as, he used to say this about me sometimes. He said I was about as useful as a chocolate teapot.
And a chocolate teapot.
Yeah.
Because if you heat it up, it melts.
You can't make tea with a chocolate. He would say, I used to have a problem with organization when I was in fifth grade. And so
I think a lot of us had problems with organization when we were in fifth grade.
Well, he was a bit of a neat freak. I'll say that much. He was very, very proper in that sense. But he said I couldn't organize a bun fight in a bakery. I tried to get a date.
Hold on. You couldn't organize a bun fight in a bakery.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. No, it's. I say that all the time about people.
That's good. I like that one. Have you ever asked them where they came from? Are they from Scotland or something?
He just used to say them. I never really asked because I was just like, well, because he said them ever since I was a little boy. So I was just like, oh, my dad must have just come up with these. Odds are he got them from his father or his uncles or something like that.
Right.
But he had a million of them. A million of them. When I used to play football, if one of the receivers couldn't catch something, he said he's got hands like a digital clock.
Oh, that's good.
Or if I didn't put I used to play defense. If I couldn't put a good hit on somebody, he'd say, Tommy, you couldn't tackle a good dinner.
Wait. Well, he was just full of them, huh?
I know. It was insane. I tried to get a date one weekend, and I got rejected, and he's like, yeah, it's because you're about as popular as a fart in a spacesuit.
Now, I've heard the about as popular as a fart in church. Mm-hmm. I've heard that. Spacesuit's better.
Yeah.
You know.
It's very location specific.
Well, yeah, and you're stuck inside the spacesuit.
Exactly. That's just getting recycled right in the face. Couldn't kick snow off a rope.
Couldn't kick snow off a rope?
Yeah. It's incredibly easy.
Yeah.
Who can't kick snow off a rope?
So. I mean, that's odd.
It's very odd. My friends told me they wanted to put these all in a book and just like have them for reference. Yeah. No, he had many. He was very good at being able to turn a phrase.
Sounds like it. Can't kick snow off a rope. Yeah, those old phrases are fun, man. It's fun. You get a certain dynamic to the way people talk. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. In a few minutes, we're going to play another round of Know Your Onion. And then we're going to talk about some weird side stories from historical events. We're going to get into some weird side stories from historical events. And we'll do that after we play the old Know Your Onion. Here's Bruce on WGN. Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
Hi.
The phrase, hold your horses.
Okay.
Of course, that was before cars and that, when a lot of people had horses. And when the circus came to town, there'd be an advanced man coming down the street saying, hold your horses, the elephants are coming.
Oh, that's where that comes from?
Right.
Yeah, okay. The hold your horses, the elephants are coming. All right, Bruce. Thanks, man.
Okay.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Does anybody ever say, hold your horses?
Say, whoa there, eager McBeaver.
What? Where did Take It Easy come from?
Take It Easy.
Besides a terrible Eagles song. I wonder where that came from. Take it easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People just say these things and they forget where they come from. It's very odd.
What about Up in Smoke? Where did that come from? Besides Cheech and Chong. I mean, the obvious answer is Up in Smoke came from Cheech and Chong. That would be my first response to that. So, phrases and terms, where did they come from? You want to join us? It's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. But yeah, there are a lot of also, you know, in there's also this, when we talk about this, there's also certain jargon that you use for certain jobs, you know, like what's some of the jargon that we use in the radio business?
Cutting tape.
Yeah.
Even though when's the last time anybody would have physically cut tape in this business? Like the 90s? Probably before that?
Yeah, right around. No, it would be in the 90s. Because we did the switch over to digital. Because when I first started my show, my regular show was in 1998. We still had carts. I mean, I've been part of the station since 1985. But the first time I actually had my own show, not just appearing on other people's shows and reviewing movies for Roy, was in 1998. And we still used carts back then. And I don't know if I don't know if we have that room here where we are now, but they called it the Steve King room.
Where they kept all the old tech?
All the old tech, yeah. He's like, you should keep this stuff.
I think some of it may have been donated to the Museum of Broadcast Communication, which is smart. I mean,
yeah. That's probably what happened, because they did move a lot of stuff. When we made the move from the Tribune building to here, they did move a lot of stuff to the museum.
And it's really fascinating to look at. It really is.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I was around.
Yeah.
I was around at the station, you know, during that time, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you can actually, I know in engineering, sometimes I'll go when I say hi to the great engineer Dan Long.
Yeah.
They sold like a pack of razor blades somewhere.
Oh, sure.
Because you'd have to use the razor blades to physically cut tape.
Yeah.
And I know when I was in college, they were like, you guys have no idea how easy you got it.
Yeah.
Just learn this computer program. It takes like a few hours, probably figure it out. They were physically cutting tape. And
I would bring out, stacks of carts at the beginning of my show. I used to be on after Milt Rosenberg on Friday nights, and I would and on the first floor, when we were on the first floor, all the offices were on the first floor in all the studios, not just the showcase studio. I used to use Studio A Combo. That was the studio that I used, and there was a hidden wall where you could push the wall and there was a room in there, and so there was a filing cabinet where I kept all my stuff, and there were other, you know, like filing cabinets back there that were all notes and interviews that Roy Leonard did with celebrities, and they kept it in the hidden wall. So you would push that wall open, and I would do that like right when Milt was signing off. I would push the wall open, the secret wall for the secret room, and that's where I kept all my stuff. And I would bring out all these carts and stack them up, and I'd have whatever 4 minutes for. You know, because the news was on, I'd have like 4 minutes to set up everything and bring out, you know, nine tons of carts, have them stacked up next to me. So, a lot different now, man. A lot different. Okay, why don't we do this? Let's take a break here, and then when we come back, we want to hear from you. Call us right now. First two callers through right now will be our contestants for Know Your Onion. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. The phone lines are wide open right now. The first two contestants, first two callers to get in right now at 312-981-7200 will be our two contestants for Know Your Onion. And again, Know Your Onion is Tom is your host, and he will read you some news headlines, and you have to decide whether they are real or fake and from the satirical newspaper, The Onion. It's very easy, and if you get the majority of them right, you win a prize. 312-981-7200.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother. I was raised here in this living hell.
hired Michael McDonald here. Hi, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Here till 4 o'clock every weeknight into the morning, 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. I'm keeping you company through the overnight hours. I want to thank everybody who works the third shift. I want to thank all the truck drivers and the medical technicians and everybody who is law enforcement, first responders, all the people that keep us moving during this tough time. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We appreciate you, and we thank you. And we always try to give you guys a shout-out at the beginning of the show to thank all the third shifters, all the truck drivers, everybody who's out there working. Grocery store workers like my father and everybody else who works in the grocery stores. You guys are the heroes right now. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. So every Wednesday, we forgot to do it last Wednesday, and it angered my father. Because this is, my father loves this segment. It's called Know Your Onion. We forgot to do it last Wednesday, so we did it on Thursday. But we normally, and we'll continue to do it every Thursday morning at 3:30. And Know Your Onion is a little game that we play. Tom is your host, and the idea is you get on the line. We've got our two contestants. They're ready to go. We get on the line. You play a round of Know Your Onion. Tom will read a news headline. You have to decide whether it's real or from the satirical newspaper The Onion by saying it's real or it's The Onion. Shall we start?
It's time to Know Your Onion!
Ah, yes. Again, 60,000 people all standing 6 feet apart from each other. Right here in the studio. Ready to play Know Your Onion. And are we ready to get the guys on? Tom, are you ready? Okay. Here's Frank on WGN. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
Good. Are you familiar with The Onion?
Yeah.
Okay. So you just have to figure out whether the news headlines that that Tom reads you are real or from The Onion. So you just say real or The Onion, okay?
Okay.
All right. There's Frank. Let's go. You ready, Tom?
Let's do this.
All right.
All right, Frank. Your first headline here. It's coming to us from the world of sports. James Harden of the Houston Rockets pledges $10 million bills to keep the nation's strip clubs afloat during the pandemic. Is that real or is that The Onion?
Oh, James Harden, did you say?
Yeah, let me read that for you again. James Harden of the Houston Rockets pledges $10 million bills to keep the nation's strip clubs afloat during the pandemic.
I would say true.
Let's see. No, that is an Onion headline.
Oh, yeah, that's The Onion.
Yeah, he does. He will not be pledging $10 million individual dollar bills.
Yeah, no. Okay, all right, Frank, you got to make sure you don't get two more wrong or you're done, okay?
10-4.
All right, your next headline, Frank. Man dresses as a bush to sneak out during coronavirus lockdown. Is that real or is that The Onion?
Dresses as a bush?
Yeah, dresses as a bush to sneak out during the coronavirus lockdown.
I would say it's true. There's a lot of crazies around.
Let's see. Very good, Frank.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's coming to us from Fox News. A couple from Stevenage in the UK, Nicholas Murray and Madeline May Davies, shared footage that they say shows one of their neighbors donning a disguise to head out to the store. The video shows a man dressed as a bush and apparently sneaking out to the store before heading back home and tripping along the way. The couple captioned the footage, neighbors back at it again, sneaking out during the lockdown.
Wow.
Dressed as a bush.
But you can go to the store.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to dress up. You can go to the store. Just go straight to the store and go straight home. You don't have to dress up like a bush. Okay. All right. All right, Frank. One and one here. So here we go.
All right. Your next headline, Frank. As population works from home, Walmart reports increased sales for tops, but not bottoms. Is that real or is that The Onion?
Tops, like clothing?
Yeah, shirt. So sales for tops, but not pants.
I would say it's false.
Well, let's see. No, that is a very real headline.
Nobody's wearing pants at home.
Yeah.
you're at home. Nobody's wearing pants. Yeah. If you don't have to wear pants, you don't wear pants. That's all right. One more wrong, Frank, and we gotta tell you goodbye.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Your next headline, Frank. Congress sets aside $1,200 in trust for each American until they prove they're responsible enough to handle it. Is that real or is that The Onion?
It's The Onion.
Let's see. Very good, Frank.
Nice job.
That is The Onion.
Nice job. All right. You got two right. You get one more right and you're a winner. So this is the fifth one, right? He's got to get this one right?
Let's see.
Tom?
Yeah.
Okay. Got to get this one right, Frank.
All right.
Okay.
Your headline, drug dealer charged with running a non-essential business. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I would say that's real.
Well, let's see. And he hits the jackpot.
Nice job. What's the story behind that?
Yeah, this is coming to us from the Canadian Press. Hamilton Police have laid trafficking charges against an alleged drug dealer and slapped on a fine for operating a non-essential business. Constable Jerome Stewart says that the man allegedly made several stops to conduct drug deals before officers arrested him for trafficking. Stewart says drug dealing is not an essential service, and the man faces a $750 fine if found guilty.
There you go. Good job, Frank. Congratulations. You got yourself a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. You got to hang on, Frank. Got to hold the line, okay?
All right, Nick.
Hang on. There you go. All right. Well, first contestant, winner. See if we can get our second contestant to be a winner. And here is Dan on WGN. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
All right. You familiar with The Onion?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. All you have to do is figure out whether the news headlines that Tom reads you are real or from The Onion, okay?
You got it.
All right, let's do it.
All right, Dan. Your first headline here. Barrel of monkeys now worth more than a barrel of Alberta oil. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I'm going to say that's real.
Let's see.
Excellent!
Very good.
Yeah.
That is real.
Yeah, no. Gas, oil prices all dropping, man.
Yeah, it's coming to us from the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Western Canadian Select was selling for $6.45 U.S. a barrel on Thursday, which is down $2.84 U.S. from a day earlier. To put that in perspective, a barrel of Alberta oil is now worth $9.08 Canadian, which is less than a barrel of monkeys game, a liter of Petrelli extra virgin olive oil, or a 30-gram tube of polysporin.
Oh.
All of which are $9.99.
There you go. All right. All right, Dan. You got one right. Let's see if you can get two more right.
All right.
All right.
Dan, your next headline. New unhinged PETA ad warns that once you put googly eyes on a banana, eating it is murder. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I'm going to go with real again.
Let's see.
No.
They have done some crazy ads in the past.
Yeah.
I will say that.
That's not one, though.
No, that's The Onion.
That's The Onion. Okay, Dan. One right, one wrong. Let's see what happens next.
All right, next headline. Increasingly unhinged Melissa Clark instructs New York Times readers how to make a pizza from an old cardboard box. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I'd say that's The Onion.
Let's see. Very good, Dan.
Yeah, that's definitely The Onion. Okay, one more right, Dan, and you're a winner as well for this morning.
All right, your next headline. Moon bases could be built using astronaut urine. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I gotta go with The Onion.
Let's see. No.
That's real.
Yeah, that's real. Coming to us from CNN. When NASA astronauts return to the moon in 2024, they'll need a lunar base that allows them to stay on the surface.
or the surface. As part of a new study, researchers investigated what would happen if moon dust, known as regolith, was mixed with a component of human urine to create a kind of concrete that can be 3D printed into a structure built for human habitation.
Wow. All right.
Crazy things. Wow.
Okay, Dan, you got to get this one right. Down to the wire.
All right, let's give it a shot.
All right. New York quickly builds thousands of emergency Hamptons mansions to shelter the wealthy. Is that real or is that The Onion?
That's The Onion.
Let's see. Very good.
Of course, that's The Onion.
All right, good job, Dan.
Wow, both contestants went all the way down to the wire.
Yeah.
To get it. Dan, you got yourself a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com, and you hold the line as well, okay?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Nick.
Okay.
Just wanted to let you know, I work for the Jewel, same as you.
Same as my dad. My dad is the one that works at Jewel. I work for a radio station. I don't know if you know that or not.
I thought you used to work at the Jewel.
Oh, I did, years ago. But my dad's the one that works there now. So,
okay.
Thanks for what you do, Dan. I appreciate it, man. Hang on, okay? You got to hold the line.
Okay, thank you.
There you go. Hold the line, like Toto. I never tire of that joke. Everybody else does, but I don't. Hold the line, like Toto. All right. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline Studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, and we're here till 4. And then at 4 o'clock, we'll head over to Bradley Place on the TV side of WGN and get some early morning news from the team. And then at 5 o'clock, the great Bob Surratt is here for your morning drive, and we are here for you 24/7. WGN is always here, always waiting for you to inform you, to keep you company, and to help make us through, get us through this. And we will get through this. We'll get through it together. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. So history books tend to be filled with solemn, serious events and solemn, serious people. That's only because they're written by solemn, serious, boring historians who keep their profession as respectable as possible. But here at Cracked, this is where the story comes from, we consider it our ongoing duty to relieve people of pressures from our polished past and pointing out the pranks, pettiness, and faux pas, which prove, while the foreground of history is important, the background is never-ending series of slapstick. Here, for example, are some of the weird side stories that happened at historical events. Like, for instance, the first one, the Yalta Conference was a boozy mess with no toilets. The Yalta Conference was one of the most important diplomatic events in the history, as the big three of Winston Churchill, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and Joseph Stalin got together to plan the fate of post-war Europe. It was also a dung-coated mess held at a Crimean resort that Winston Churchill described as the Riviera of Hades and, quote, the worst place in the world. Yalta itself is renowned for its beauty, at least when a war hasn't turned it into a burning husk. What the Western delegations didn't realize was that speeding through 50 miles of bombed-out countryside was going to be the most pleasant part of the trip. The opulent-looking Russian palaces were, in fact, medieval nightmares. The interior was freezing. The mattresses were paper-thin, quote-unquote, and bedroom light switches were conveniently located several rooms away. Also, every room was crawling with bedbugs and lice while mosquitoes swarmed underneath banquet tables. The Americans and Brits had to literally drench their bedrooms with toxic DDT as to not get devoured. But the real horror was the toilet situation, or rather the lack thereof. The ancient palaces had almost no indoor plumbing, and the long lines almost certainly had the generals making vaguely sexist comments about how they'd never get in line for a men's room before. As a solution, the Soviets dug a big trench in a nearby park for the esteemed military leaders to relieve themselves in. And when you imagine a bunch of shivering, lice-ridden soldiers catching dysentery in a muddy trench, you don't expect to see quite as many decorations on their uniforms. To distract from the Airbnb experience from hell, the Soviets improved their hospitality in the most Russian way possible. Every morning, a full bottle of expensive vodka was put by every door of every room. For the week the conference went on, the attending delegates tended to be drunk from morning to midnight. And most of the diplomacying was being conducted during boozy dinner parties. No wonder post-war Europe was such a mess. They probably decided the fate of Poland during an epic game of vodka pong. Is that a game I don't know about?
It's like beer pong, but
use vodka instead.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nightmare.
It's like putting jet fuel in your car.
That sounds like an absolute nightmare. Jeez.
I'm kind of picturing, you know, like Winston Churchill and Stalin, you know, both of their towels waiting to go to the bathroom, take a shower.
Yeah. But then they dig out a trench for them to relieve themselves in?
I mean, if it's good enough. I mean, Wrigley Jeez. Field basically has that, the trough.
You ever see the idiot footage of people sliding through the troughs?
Oh my God.
You've not seen this?
No. Wow.
Yeah. Drunk idiots take a challenge. They video it. Somebody, you know, has their phone out and they video it, and they jump into the troughs and slide through. And they're, you know, they're filled with pee.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, the first time I said, it's not just one idiot who did it.
Several idiots
have done this, but you can't put it past people. Also, you know, kids were eating Tide Pods, so
yeah, anything's possible.
Dancing outside the car, getting hit by cars while your car is running. What was that, a specific song, right?
Yeah, I can't remember. Some, I don't know,
it was a specific song that they had to dance to while their car door was open and the car was moving without them driving, and people got hit by cars. They could
too busy playing Sink the Bismarck.
Gonna bring that back up.
Yeah, I still have a couple callers that refer to me as the Bismarck.
Sink the Bismarck. That was a childhood game that one of our listeners used to play, where all the kids would go out in the winter and they'd be in their heavy coats and jackets, and the biggest kid, who weighed like 100 pounds more than everybody else, would get on his hands and knees, and they would try to knock him over, and they called it Sink the Bismarck. And Tom enjoyed that name and description. Okay. Some more facts that weird side stories to historical events. Apollo 12 astronauts had Playboy nudes taped to their wrists. Before 1969, the idea of putting someone on the moon sounded like just an expensive way to turn astronauts into space corpses. But once we went to and pooped on the moon, it suddenly became a lot less daunting. So when the second moon landing was planned, everyone at NASA was a lot more relaxed, even though enough even to pull some sexy pranks. On November 4th, 1969, astronauts Pete Conrad, Alan Bean, and Richard Gordon set off to the moon. Unbeknownst to them, their vehicle had a few extra passengers. As a joke, and perhaps to ease the loneliness of the command module pilot Gordon, the nude poster of Miss November 1969, Dee Dee Lind, was hidden inside one of the lockers. And while his moonwalking colleagues were boldly going where a few men had gone before, the shuttle-bound Gordon stumbled upon his sexy stowaway. Not that Gordon and Bean were devoid of female company. As they flipped through their spacesuit's wrist-mounted mission manual, they discovered several Playboy nudes had been hastily taped inside. Because being distracted by some stellar boobs while cataloging The Miracles of Space. It's pretty funny until you come to the depressing realization those two-dimensional bunnies are still the closest any woman has ever gotten to the moon. Okay, we have got a few more phrases here. 847, a couple of hushisms from my peas. Who is this sending this in? Do you know this person? Busier than a one-armed paper hanger. Busier than a one-armed paper hanger. That sounds like something your dad would have said.
Oh, absolutely.
Busier than a one-armed paper hanger, and you could screw up a one-car funeral. I like that one.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's a classic.
A good one. I love
that's
it.
That's a classic. That's a classic for sure. So, I've got a lot more of these weird side events that happened during historical moments, and we'll continue with that the next time we're on the air. We'll do it tomorrow. And do we have Dan Feinberg tomorrow?
Yeah, Dan Feinberg, and then also our good friend Mark Rettig from Landline Now is going to give us some news from the road for all the truckers and drivers out there.
Oh, good. So Mark Rettig's going to be with us, and we'll talk about that. And again, thank you so much for everybody who's working during this pandemic, to the drivers, to the truck drivers, and to everybody who's working the third shift and all of that stuff. You are definitely unbelievably appreciated, and we thank you for doing what you do. We'll be back again tomorrow to get you through this and keep you company. And again, Bob Surratt coming up at 5 and the WGN TV news crew coming up next.